United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Hey, welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends, and I've got AJ in studio with me. I've got a caller online, and I'm looking forward to talking with her. We're going to talk about the Junior League going on in Austin Town, so I'm going to tell you what's going on here before I do that. The number is 347-945-5229. And today, when we get done talking with her about the Junior League in Austin Town, we've got a fundraiser tomorrow. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And when we get done with that, then I'm going to talk about Ferguson, where the riots are, and the young man, Mr. Brown, who got shot. I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to ask AJ. He's in studio with me. Jeff is out on the road goofing off. I tried to reach him this morning, and he told me he was in the hills of Georgia. And I was like, yeah, right. today is Woodstock started today.
Oh, wow.
In 1969. It was a music festival. 69, I was 4 years old, so I guess I did I was 4 years old. I guess I didn't get a chance to attend that, so I knew nothing about it. But if you want to tell a story because you've been there, I want you to call in and do that. It is open mic again today, but I do want to talk to Elle. Hey, how are you? This is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Getting ready for tomorrow.
What is tomorrow? Tell us a little bit about tomorrow. Tell us your first and last name. Tell us who you are. Tell us what you're about, where you're from, and then tell us what's going to be happening tomorrow.
All right. My name is Ellen Kosa. I'm with the Austintown Junior Women's League. We are having a casual evening with Ray Boom Boom Mancini tomorrow evening at the Austintown Senior Center. And it's a very casual evening. It's very different than most evenings I've had with Ray. It's usually a banquet and a nice dinner. This is more casual with cornhole and sausage, peppers, and onions and things like that.
Ooh, and, that's nice.
Oh, yes. It should be a little more, if somebody really wanted to talk to Ray, it'll be a little more intimate than at a big banquet. All the proceeds will go towards our scholarship fund because we give scholarships every year to the high school seniors. And the more money we have in our scholarship.
This is the Austintown Women's League.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about the Women's League.
Okay, we have we are part of public affairs, home life, education, conservation, arts. We try to promote all these, promote community services. We have the breast cancer awareness and prevention. We're part of the Austintown's Relay for Life. Towards conservation, we help maintain a bed in the 9/11 Memorial Park that's on South Raccoon Road. So there's different aspects of our organization, and I thought this would be a good, since I have a little bit of an in with Ray, I thought this would be a good opportunity to raise some of our funds for the scholarship.
So you know Ray, you know Ray Mancini personally, huh?
Yes, I'm his sister, so I know him a little bit.
You know him a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So tomorrow, where is it going to be? Can I come? Do I have to pay in advance? Can I buy at the door?
We do have tickets in advance. They are $20. You can call me or...
And that number is?
330-501-8850. We do encourage beforehand to try and get your ticket beforehand because it's not a real huge place we're talking about, and if you want to make sure you spend an evening with Ray, then this will secure your spot there.
Tell me,
but there should be tickets at the door, though.
Where are we going?
Oh, this is the Austintown Senior Center. It is actually right next to Rachel's on Westchester Drive. Now, I don't know if you remember the old Gatsby restaurant.
Yeah.
That's where Rachel's is now.
Right.
Now, talking about Gatsby, that's going back a ways, isn't it?
Just a little bit.
Just a little
bit. In the Austintown Senior Citizen right there. And when you call to make your reservation, it's only $20. It goes for a good cause. And they're going to be raising money. You guys are giving scholarships out to Austintown 6 seniors, am I correct?
Correct. Yes,
and we know education is the key. And I don't know if you guys know, but, you know, they may not give out millions of dollars, but I have talking to some students lately, and they were telling me that they have a book, and the book was $800-some.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
can you
yes.
imagine having to buy a – I mean, you've got your school paid for, but then they tell you you've got to bring a book to class, and the book is $800-some.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yes, it is. And so we need to be able to support our young people, and we have some organizations like the Austintown Women's League who are to rally together and cooperatively come together to give out stipends and support young people who are graduating from high school so that they can go into higher education and actually be productive adults. And I think that's what we need to do in our community. And I guess Ray Boom Boom Mancini, if you don't know, Ray was a middleweight boxer?
Lightweight.
Lightweight.
He was a lightweight. Mm-hmm.
From Youngstown, Ohio, he was boxing what years, Ellen?
He won his title in 1982.
I grew up watching him.
Yes.
Because I came out of school in 83, and boxing was huge during that time. That was during Ray Mancini and Sugar Ray Leonard and Mike Tyson, which is coming into. So boxing was really huge. People used to stop their whole life and watch the boxing match on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And Ray is from Youngstown. Did he go to school here?
Yes, he went to Cardinal Mooney.
Oh, he's
Cardinal
Mooney. He's one of those, huh?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we were one of those.
Okay, he's one of those. And so you can get up close and personal with him. And you guys are going to have a silent auction there and that kind of stuff going on there?
Oh, yes. We're going to have fun stuff going on. There will be your regular 50-50 raffle and a live auction that will feature, like, he has some wine. We're going to auction off some of his wine and T-shirts and Boom Boom memorabilia. I have I'll have autographed gloves to auction off.
Oh, wow.
So there'll be some fun stuff, yeah.
What time does it start?
It starts at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock tomorrow? At the Austintown. Can I just come in and stay for a little while and then go to my other function if necessary? I don't have to stay for the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Going to be casual.
Oh, absolutely.
And $20 is not a lot of money.
Not bad.
Not a lot of money at all.
No. And it's for a great cause.
Yeah.
Scholarships are very important, I know. And,
mm-hmm. And Ellen, you want to name some of the other women who are a part of your organization?
Yes, Kathy Rusbeck is our president. We have Marie Dockery is our vice president, Peggy Bennett, who is actually the chairperson for our the committee that's trying to put this event together. And Deanna Hosey and Dan Zimmerman are also part of the committee that we're trying to, like I said, get this thing going tomorrow.
Listen, I hope I didn't get you in trouble making call people's names out, because every time I do, I forget somebody. But I wanted to let them recognize some of the women's names are a part of this.
I know. I wasn't expecting that, so I'm trying to think.
Sorry.
Top of my
head. So turning to her head and not to her heart if she forgot anybody in the organization that she was supposed to call out that she didn't. But it's going to be a great evening. I don't know if I have a time, because I've got a picnic tomorrow evening, but I'm going to do my best to try to stop by and
oh,
say
we
hi.
Love it.
And beat up on her brother.
Yes.
You tell him
yes.
He's got a fight coming. He's got a fight coming. He's got a lightweight fight coming.
There we go.
Ellen,
no,
thank
it should
you so
be
much.
A real fun evening.
I thank you so much for calling in and taking time out of your schedule. We'll continue to announce this for the rest of the morning. And we want people to come out tomorrow afternoon at 6 o'clock. It's only $20. You can give Ellen a call at 330-501-8850. Again, that number is 330-501-8850. It is the Austintown Women's League. You can give Ellen a call, buy a ticket for $20. Support a cause. Even if you can't go, tell her you'll send them a check and just, that's fine. But it's for a good cause. It's for education. They're going to be giving out scholarships. She said it's casual, so we don't have to dress up in ball gowns. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. I really do.
Thank you for the opportunity, Tracy.
Oh, you're more than welcome. We're always here to serve you, and whatever you need from us, just give me a call.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot. Hey, you're listening to Tracy.
See you tomorrow.
WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break really quick. When I come back, I see Pionki's here. We've been trying to find him all week long. We're going to talk about Ferguson, Missouri. I'm going to talk. You guys may or may not agree with me, but I'm too bad. You know, it is what it is. But I've got some things I want to say about this. No matter what, we need to do things differently, because how we're doing it is just not working. And it is open mic Friday. AJ's in studio with me. The number is 347-945-5229, and we'll see you on the other side of our break.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie's Safe and Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie's Safe and Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Today is the 15th of August. Today is anniversary of Woodstock. I was too young to go, but, you know, I heard it was a big deal. And you're listening to Santana today. I'm going to talk about Ferguson, Missouri for just a moment before, and AJ's in the studio with me. And before I open up the phone lines and let everybody jump in, because I have my own thoughts about it. It took me a long time for me to shape my own thoughts because I did not speak until I understood a little bit more about what's going on and what happened with this young man, in which we still don't know the particulars and the details of the case or what's or the surroundings of it. But my thoughts on this, and I was watching television this morning, and they were saying that they didn't want us to lose sight of a young man who was unarmed being shot by a police officer. And so because of the riots. And this is something that I need for people to really take hold of. We're going to have to do things differently. We are living in a new world, and you cannot burn down your neighborhood to get attention because you have been and or you feel vilified because of an injustice. You have to work from the inside out. If you don't like it, you have to be proactive and change it. You've got to work at it. But you cannot go out in the middle of the night, go into the streets. Silent protests are not working if you're not sitting at the boardroom and you do not have the attention of the elected officials in your own area. Ferguson is a city of St. Louis County. St. Louis is a city and St. Louis is a county, as in some areas like Los Angeles City and Los Angeles County. It is a city inside of the county by the same name. And Ferguson has a population that is, I'm going to give you the actual numbers because I did look it up, of about 21,000 people, which is not a lot of people. And they have the ability to go in there and to change things, but they have not done so. And I'm not justifying the shooting. I'm not saying the police officer was right, wrong, or indifferent. I know that we're talking about you've got so many police officers in the Ferguson Police District, but you only have 3 black people. But the question is, are we applying and are we engaging and are we showing up? See, you can't get mad if nobody's pulling you out of bed and making you show up. You have to show up on time. You've got to show up on your own, and you've got to be ready to work, and you've got to work hard at it. You just can't just show up. And I'm not saying that we don't have people that are not showing up, but we have to also understand that we are not engaging in the process. There are enough African Americans in Ferguson that if they wanted to, they could turn that whole city black, but they've chosen not to. And we have not given them good reason to educate themselves so that they can become better, because as there as well as anywhere else, as soon as we get an education, we go find somewhere else to live, somewhere else to move, and so somewhere else to create our own life. So when the brain trust is gone, there's nobody to rally behind us and in front of us. This morning I was talking with someone about Cory Booker, who is a senator out of Maryland, I want to say. And Cory Booker is a Democrat. And he and I don't agree on a lot of things. But I can say this, I can applaud him for the hard work and the time that he's put in and who he is as a man, whether I agree on his politics or not. And he decided to not go out and make a lot of money, but he decided to come back into his city and try to help. I can't knock him for that. Whereas the majority of us, we get ours and we get gone. And then we wonder what's wrong. And burning down your city and going through what they went through in Ferguson, Missouri, trying to get attention because of a young boy dying is not the way to go about it. And there were other frustrations that were going on there because there's high unemployment there, there's lack of education there, they're underdeveloped there, but that comes from our lazy, lackadaisical attitude that we have when nothing is going wrong. And until we change our paradigm, we cannot expect for the outside world to change theirs. Good morning, Pianki. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
That's nice. Always nice to hear people. I see you going on an outing. You call it a picnic. I call it an outing. But
which outing?
The same.
Oh, tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I don't call them too many picnics, but that's what they labeled it, so I went with it. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I can't stay here. Well, I'll come in on Monday and be able to spend a little bit more time with you, but I got to get back to some action. But
And I got a couple questions for you, because you got to stay here today for me, because we've been looking for you for the last couple days.
I can't stay. I got a 9 o'clock appointment. I got to get ready for it. But I will be here Monday because school starts back Monday. My grandson will be going back, and then. That'll be less one thing I'm obligation I have to make. But things are, like you say, a lot of things have led up to what you are witnessing. The violence, of course, nobody condones. But, you know, individuals have different perspectives, different grievances, and opportunities like such give them an opportunity to do what they do, but yet instead, police don't have a right to do what they do. Every U.S. citizen is guaranteed by the 14th Amendment, also the 5th Amendment. I may need correction on that particular one. Due process, no matter what it is that they do. And this young man was not allowed due process to face whatever allegations that he was being charged. And he was a clean young man, no criminal record. Graduate from high school, so on and so on and so on. Even though I've seen attempts by news services to portray him as the dark picture of an O.J. Simpson. So the governor did a good thing because of political pressure. He took the situation out of the hands of the local authority, which is just one of those old bastions that still exists. And you have a demographic change, and they don't want to change. And, of course, that area has a long history of disparities to black people. I challenge you to look up the Eleanor Reasonover case, which happened back in 1983, to the town which is right next to Ferguson, which is called Adelwood. So hopefully things are changing. You're absolutely right about the governance that needs to change. It's not going to happen just that easy, because what you have in these ring cities is that you have from the dispersion of blacks out of St. Louis that's been going on for a long time. A lot of these occupants are young. They're not what you would call stable homeowners, although there are some stable homeowners. A lot of them are occupying apartments, and these apartment-like residences, and You know, it is what it is.
Let me. I know you said you had some things you had to do, and you'll be back on Monday. But can I need to interview you for a minute, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you some questions to lay some groundwork. How did the riots start? We know that they were having peaceful protests. We know that the young man got shot, and I know that they were having peaceful protests because of the young man getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
But what made this escalate from a quiet protest to a riotous situation? How did that shift?
Well, they brought in police dogs, something you don't do when you're dealing with crowds of black people because of the history. You know what that history is.
That's correct.
And the chief of police asked the crowd, could they just protest during the daytime and not during the nighttime? Well, you know, that Constitution allows you to write your First Amendment right. It doesn't say it has to be restricted to a certain time of day. So it was that, and you still have the police that was coming in to assist Ferguson, was coming from all outlying areas and so on. St. Louis County Police, which is another bastion of those elements that you don't want to talk about. You think that the hiring ratio in Ferguson is misplaced and misapportionate. And the same thing lies with St. Louis County. So you got Ferguson, you got St. Louis County, then ultimately you have the State Patrol, which comes in because they have more jurisdiction than any other. And that's how it got to where it was.
Tell me this: How did the population of this county? What percentage is black? Because every time I pull this up, they keep on giving me St. Louis, Missouri, and I keep on trying to ask them about Ferguson. So they haven't given me I can't find the percentages really quickly of African American to white.
St. Louis County. What you call St. Louis County. St. Louis City, you got these ring areas.
Okay.
We used to call them ring districts because you got Normandy, you got Ferguson, you got Jennings, you got little pocket areas. St. Louis, you have counties that may only have 25 people in it. It's little townships. When blacks first moved in, like I mentioned, you got Ferguson. I mentioned to you about Dalewood. Over from there, you got Castle Point. When blacks first moved in Castle Point decades ago, and they put up Christmas displays showing a black Santa Claus, the people in the neighborhood actually fired real bullets to tear it up off the people's houses. So you was moving into an area that was predominantly white, racist, and I'm talking about real racism. Things began to change.
But see, this is my question. I found it on Wikipedia. The 2010 census. Tells me that the population right now is in the city is 29.3% white and 67.4% African American. So they make up almost 70% of the populace of Ferguson County. Yet, everyone that I've seen except for the new black guy they found sitting out there who was a cop in political hierarchy has been white. Which tells me that there is a major disengagement of African Americans in leadership inside of Ferguson City. Am I correct about that?
Well, you don't have just because you got the numbers, then you have to bring all of the qualifications. Are they eligible to vote? Can they vote? And so on and so on and so on. If that's what you're talking about,
if they're 18 and over, they can vote. You can put Boo Boo the Fool in there if he's 18. Of that 59%, I'm quite sure that they've got a high youth population, but I'm also sure that they have a population that they could overthrow and or put African Americans in office. Because, see,
if you got 60% black population, what percentage of the population do you have to have that's black, whereas you get 50% turnout?
30.
To elections.
You, you, but, But see, that's what I'm, this goes back to my. If you can get that many people together to organize, to protest, and to riot, because you got a lot of folks out there right now. It's not like you got 20, 30, 50, a small populace of a population outside right now voting, not voting, but rioting. Because even if you're not rioting, you're out taking pictures, you're out looking, you're protesting, you're mad, you're infuriated. So if you can organize for something like this, you can organize for a takeover. And for
a lot of people that came out to participate in those demonstrations don't live. We have black people that come from all over Illinois, every place else, because of this issue. That's what you're seeing. Those are just the people that live in Ferguson.
But still, a good
matter of fact, a lot of
them
faces I don't even recognize.
But a good populace of those people still live in Ferguson. And what I'm saying is because we are not proactive. Because this young man, see, I have a problem with kids dying at the hands of the police or at the hands of black-on-black crime. I don't care how they die. If they die in a violent way, I have a problem with it, no matter where it is. But I also have a problem with us not being proactive and us being reactive, because rioting because of the young man getting shot is reactive, because proactivity would have told this young man that if you shoot this black kid and he's not unarmed, that they're going to come and they're going to hang you, not by your job, but you're going to wish that you had never seen a gun in your life.
Well,
that you had never become a police officer.
But initially, that just don't start like that, Tracy. Now, from here on, it probably will, but initially, that just doesn't start. I mean, they had to take they done away with the local police because they coming out with riot gear, armored vehicles, tripod-mounted machine guns, and so on and so on. And the government say, you got to go. The federal senator, Claire McCaskill, and I was surprised she said this. She said the same thing. You have a federal senator, one of the federal senators of the state of Missouri, made that statement. So he put the Highway Patrol in Ferguson, and he has a black captain of the Highway Patrol that's running the operations. And things last night was very, very much better. When you have a Ferguson police force that was removing the equipment of Huffington Post and I think maybe a CNN film crew, denying them of their First Amendment right, then that just tells you the mentality of the people that was in this that runs things in this town.
And Bianchi, I agree with you. I agree with the mentality that's there, but I'm also talking about the mentality that's out on the street. Because if what we fail to realize is Rodney King, nothing changed. Zimmerman, and I didn't really agree with what happened with Zimmerman. Nothing changed. We're still going through the same circle, hamster wheel, paradigm, still moving the same way because nothing is changing. People lose their lives. People go to jail. People, lose their jobs, and they blow over. They throw some money at it, and it's like poof. And we go back to the same problem until it rises again. But no one wants to lay the groundwork for systemic change.
Things have changed because this police officer, if he's going to be prosecuted in St. Louis County with McCullough, he never would be charged for murder, even if the films show that he truly did go beyond his bounds. This is going to be investigated by the Department of Justice.
Just because a white man goes to jail for killing a black young man, if we don't make something better out of it, then nothing changes.
Well, I'm sure something better will be made out of it, Tracy. I'm beginning to see that now. The things that they demanded that the police chief resign because this type of incompetence is going on under his watch. Possibly the mayor needs to be changed too. They need to ask for a change in the racial makeup of the police department, the public works department for the city of Ferguson, the fire department. You think that the disparity lies in the police department? Look at the fire department. And not only that fire department, but each other fire department that exists in those municipalities. I'm only talking about this area here. Decades ago, it was made mention of the lack of blacks in the fire department. And you had one fire chief in Spanish Lake said he wasn't hiring niggas. It was a point reported in the newspaper. But because of the action that was put forth, that has changed.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Michigan. You know, if you, I see where you're trying to go, Tracy. You're talking about the infrastructure of the community. Now, in Michigan, in most of the cities where there's got a black population, they're going to a regional government. So when you say you've got a majority black population, you're ripe for a takeover. And I guess you're meaning go ahead and elect all black elected officials, go ahead and get your black police chief, go ahead and get you some black police officers, go ahead and get you some black firefighters. I think that that period now is about over, which there was a time when blacks could have done that. So I would agree that they did drop the ball. Now, police officers are hired by the police chief.
They're usually hired by civil service. And
no.
You have to rank on the test. And you rank on the test, and then you're hired by the police chief and affirmed by the mayor.
Correct. Correct. And so ultimately, the local government can manipulate that process and hire who they want. That's just the way it is. Now, and blacks could have done that. We did that in the city that I was a commissioner. But now, here's a key thing, Trace. What you would probably want to know about this city, one, you're going to look at the tax base. In most cases, most of those black cities have these enterprise zones, renaissance zones, where there's no tax base. So the government does not have a pot of money to make things happen. So it's like, almost like a paper government, and that's going to be true in most of the cities. So just putting this all together, you said a takeover, you know, or controlling those cities where you're the dominant population. I'm going to tell you what's missing. If blacks are not in the business of creating jobs, if that town has no black manufacturer and no major black employers, it's going to always be under the control of the people who are the employers and the people who have the resources to move the economics in that area. That's just the way it is. So
let me say, Bianchi, just having a black
population,
Michigan,
as the majority does not mean you're going to be able to wield the significant power you need to create the community you want. It just doesn't mean
Michigan. Let me say this
to
you. Listen to what I'm saying, and I agree with you. But let me tell you what happens when you actually put in infrastructure.
Okay.
See, with infrastructure, the problem we're having in cities is because the tax base is lowering based upon the economics and the property values, correct?
Correct.
And we can, and as people inside of government, we are the ones who go out and we create the environment for businesses to come in. And if we are smart, and I believe we are, I mean, we've got some really, really, really bright, intelligent, articulate, powerful, wealthy African-Americans in our country. We do. And they're business people. We're not talking about, you know, celebrity stars and football players and basketball players. We're not talking about athletes and singers. I'm talking about we have true movers and shakers that are unsung, unhidden, and don't pop their head up for much. They're there. And if I'm a good mayor, if I'm a good leader, I'm going to go out and find some of these people who have manufacturing plants in Detroit. I'm going to give them a tax incentive to come to Ferguson to build their plant there, to help them so they can help me build my community. But I can't do that if I'm not sitting at the table of influence inside of the government, inside of the government hierarchy. See, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just showing up and putting your name on a door and saying, I'm the mayor, I'm the police chief, and I'm the fire captain. I'm talking about there is a way that you can network And we have got to learn how to network amongst ourselves so that we can grow and so that we can build. We have it. And let me say, hold on, Michigan. Me, you and I, most of the time, we disagree on everything. Most of the time. But I promise you that if the push came to shove, you and I could sit down on the things that we agree with, and we could work out a program to move that what we agree with forward. Pionki and I are the same
way. The biggest businesses in Ferguson is the police department and the fire department. Then you have McDonald's, you have Quick Trip, which they tore up. McDonald's restaurant, you have other little shops like hair shops, telephone, mobile cell phone shops, tire shop, autos down toward the Chambers Road, and Taco Bell, AutoZone. Blacks are already working at those places. The biggest entity there is Emerson Electric across the street, which hire like that. So now, what you're saying is not worth.
You missed my point. I said to come and get Tracy, who has a automotive manufacturing plant, who is working somewhere else, giving her a 10-year tax abatement to move her company from Ohio to Ferguson, Missouri, because I found out that she actually employs 300 people. She makes this kind of product for these kind of cars.
Tracy, that's the job of a U.S. senator or a U.S. representative.
That is the job of
Ferguson. What kind of tax abatement you going to give in a Ferguson?
Come on now.
I hear what you're saying, but you are misplaced in what you're trying to say.
You have a tax abatement
program. Well, you don't even do that where you at.
Pionki, you have a tax abatement program in Missouri. I can guarantee it.
You're right. We offer TIF in the city of St. Louis. Ferguson is not going to have no opportunities to offer no tax incremental financing to no major corporation because no major corporations don't come there.
Because you haven't invited them and you haven't given them
the ground.
No, they haven't. They have not. Well, they have not negotiated. I don't care where you are. You haven't negotiated
But it's fact. I live here. You stay in Ohio.
I don't care where you live. Listen, I don't care where you live.
I know what they've tried to
do
here.
Your leadership has not negotiated a deal to cause companies to come because somewhere there, something is broken. Because companies go where they can make money. And if you give them the right deal, they'll come. The question is, have you sold them? And have you gone out and reached out to the right people? No, we have not. Whether it be in Missouri or whether it be in Ohio.
Two miles from Ferguson, they have a whole development in a park where you have companies like Express Script. And I'm sure you know what they do. You have other companies that's moved. In Berkeley, which is Berkeley, will you let me speak? I got to go.
You talk to yourself. Why won't they come to Ferguson? If they're 2 miles down the street, you can't tell me they'll go 2 miles down the street, but they won't come to Ferguson. That's crazy. You haven't given people enough something to do there, and we have not learned how to do that. Hey, good morning, 440. Your mic is on.
Yes, the reason that they're not going to Ferguson, especially now, is because they looted and trashed the businesses that were there. And you know what? Everybody in this country sees that, and that's what's going to happen with the rest of the black communities. That's the only demographic that does this. I'm sorry. I mean, it's one thing to protest, but to take it to the other level where you're stealing and you're wrecking businesses and everything, nobody wants that. I wouldn't put
that's
a business
not-
there.
That's not a way. That's not a good. That's not a good invitation for you to come and start your business. Black or white?
No, it's not. No, but black society is the only one that does this.
Let me say this to you, and my white audience. You have to understand the lack of education, the lack of information, the lack of knowledge that comes from a people who are suppressed for so long that when they become, and a lot of them, when they become frustrated, they begin to take it out in various forms. And African Americans, you've got opportunists. And a lot of the looting are opportunists.
Yes.
The rioting is ignorance. Because in the quiet times, we never teach anyone the economics of a protest. We never teach anyone the maneuvers and the mechanics of how to make a protest work. We never go back and study the protest of Martin Luther King and then come back and bring it into this millennium. And so I'm not saying that they should riot, but they don't know how to get the attention of the world unless they burn it down. They don't know how, because if they didn't burn it down, the conversation would probably be very, very quiet right now. I wouldn't be talking about it today, and neither would anyone else. So they don't know how.
But people don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with it. If you want to burn down your own community, go ahead and burn it down.
But that's not true. That's not true, because just because you don't have anything to do with it because of the geographics of where it is, you have a lot to do with it because it can happen here. You know, we're not that far from the frustration here.
If that turns into my neighborhood, I'm gone. I won't deal with it.
You can't. Listen, I love you all. Sweetie, 440. You can't listen. You can't keep running south. See, this is what's wrong with white folks in the first place. When black folks started moving in peaceably, y'all moved your little white tails to the suburbs, out of the city. And then when black folks started moving into the suburbs, then y'all say, "Well, we're gonna go down to the rural areas." What I'm telling you is,
you can't change
by running.
You don't want
and
to.
We didn't, but I know, no, you didn't want to live next to me. Don't get it twisted.
No, you didn't want us there.
No, that's not true. Let's go. 440, go back in history. Y'all didn't want me in your neighborhood because you didn't know what it was, because there was misinformation, there was prejudice amongst white folks, and y'all thought that if we moved in next to you, that y'all grass was going to turn brown.
A black person would move into a city.
Hold on. A black person would move into your neighborhood. And there would be a working black person. There would be a productive black person. They'd have a husband and a wife and children. And then all the white folks would put up a for sale sign and move their happy white tails somewhere else because they didn't want to live next to me. They didn't want their children to play with me.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
Don't get it twisted.
No, just like you got hundreds of black people that are dying at the hands of black people every day. But,
dude, I ain't shot nobody yet.
But Whitey, who, and we don't even know the details, kills a black person. Oh boy, here we go.
It's not Whitey.
It's the police officer. But listen, Tracy.
Yeah, and you don't know the facts either.
I don't know why,
but you're going to burn down the city, and you still don't have the facts yet.
Okay, Tracy.
You want the guy's name because you want to go and crucify the guy before he goes to trial.
You missed the point.
That's what you want
to
do.
You didn't listen. You didn't listen to the passion that came behind it. We're tired of our black boys getting killed because every time a black man gets killed, we go back to profiling. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to crucify either side because I really still don't know the particulars of either. Hold on. I don't know the particulars of either case. But I do know your apathy and the attitude that you have today is why people are outside burning down places now, because you don't give a brass butt. That's the problem. White folks don't care. And because they
don't
care, it comes
up
to be a... That's not true.
You care about me?
You yes.
Oh, what?
Absolutely. Yes, go ahead, Michigan.
Yeah. Back to the companies and the tax bases, and you're absolutely right, Tracy. There's all types of studies show that when blacks move in, whites move out. I mean, that's not even an argument. You almost spent 15 minutes trying to convince them that's already been proven. And it's already been proven that the fundamental reason that whites move out is the number one reason, because they do not want to live by blacks. It's already been proven. But we don't even have to argue that point.
Now, but hold on, baby. Hey, Michigan, hold on.
Listen here. 440,
please don't let me really get that pissed off at you this early in the morning. Because let me say this to you. My uncle was an executive at Lordstown. He had a wife and two children. I'm from Hubbard, Ohio. I'm going to call them out. And all they wanted to do was buy a house inside the city in which we were raised. My family has been there 80 years. And they told them they couldn't live there because they were black. Don't tell me what we do and where we live. I'm from here. And your attitude tells, yes, I care. Because if I didn't care, I wouldn't be here. I care about everybody. So you can't lump every black person into the same bottle because we're not all the same, just like I'm not going to lump all white people into the same bottle either. So don't tell me that. But you've got to be honest about this. Your apathy, your attitude is the reason why we're in this mess today. Because nobody cares. Go ahead, Michigan.
Well, I have to commend you, Tracy. I mean, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely on point. But I do want to mention this tax bit. Now, I'm talking from experience, so this is not hyperbole. I was a city commissioner. When you're talking about trying to lure those companies in, there's a couple of things you need to know. One, you're competing with the other surrounding municipalities within the county. That's the first thing. That's key. And most of the municipalities around the black municipalities are white. And so now in most of the municipalities around the black community, the county is a white-ran county. And so now when those companies, when you try to lure those companies in, they look at a few things. One, they do look at the school system, and most of the executives that they'll bring with them are white. They're not interested in putting their kids into the school systems that are in those municipalities, and that's understandable. Most of the high-tech employees that they do bring in with those companies are white, and they don't want to live in those black communities. So what happens is they do normally set up shop on the outskirts of those black communities. And, you know, I don't know if those black communities have enough to put on the table, considering that they do have the bad schools, no tax base, pretty much nothing to do. You know, they don't have enough to put on the table to lure those companies like the surrounding municipalities have. And so that's what you end up having. Let me give you one more thing. We have a Fortune 500 company smack dab in the MSA of where the city I was a commissioner. Now, without the tax base, here's what they do. They do this in lieu of tax. But what they do, these companies, they can determine where those dollars go. In other words, they don't just turn those dollars over to, they don't have to turn those dollars over to the municipalities. They can determine where they want that money spent. And, for instance, the Fortune 500 company, they always give, when they lure a taxes money, they only give it to the police department. The new equipment,
Let me take my break, because and what I'm saying is, the reason why it is the way it is because we're not there, shouting and pleading our own case, and if everybody heard misheard or did not hear what I said that we have companies across this country that are African American companies. That if you've got Oh, there's quite a few. As a matter of fact, if you want to call me off the air, there's quite a few up in your area, in your neck of the woods. They just keep their head down. They just do what they got to do. They're suppliers for your major car companies, and
well,
they make
about the suppliers now.
They're manufacturers. I met with some of them over the last couple of weeks, and I said, wow, y'all doing some things, and I'm sitting here still broke. I was the brokest person in the room. So there's some people doing some things out there. The question is, are we going to engage with them so that we can make some things happen? I'll be right back.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
You're a good driver.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. The Ferguson, Missouri police chief has just announced the name of the cop who shot and killed an unarmed black teen, sparking nearly a week of protests in suburban St. Louis.
The officer that was involved in the shooting of Michael Brown was Darren Wilson. He's been a police officer for 6 years, has had no disciplinary action taken against him.
And Chief Thomas Jackson says Officer Wilson was treated for injuries after the shooting. He also revealed that the officer was responding to a strong-armed robbery just prior to the shooting. After several nights of violent protests, some say the mood in Ferguson is totally different now that the State Highway Patrol has been put in control, stripping local police of their authority. This resident is relieved.
There's a lot of different mixed races out here. Nobody's tripping. Everybody's showing peace and love today for a better tomorrow.
Rallies are also being held across the country in Boston, New York, and Chicago.
I'm out here because we want to stop all this, the racism from the cops, and let them know that we're citizens too, even though we're black and we have a different culture than them.
Five protesters were arrested in New York City. Who took two young Amish sisters from their family's roadside farm in upstate New York? The hunt is on for their kidnapper, who released them about 15 miles from their home about 24 hours after they were abducted. County DA Mary Rain is eager for the kidnapper to be caught.
I can't wait till they arrest these people, if there is more than one, because I would love to have an opportunity to prosecute them.
Because the Amish are very private, no details have been released yet about what happened to the girls while they were gone. Super Value has been hacked. The grocery chain with stores in five states says a network that processes store transactions has been breached, but it's still unclear if credit card data has been stolen. A mystery animal caught on surveillance video prowling the Southern California streets of Norwalk. It is not a mountain lion, but Buddy, the family dog. This is ABC News.
Stay tuned for a surprise summer sale from Pro Flowers, our biggest sale on romantic red roses. Was Valentine's Day the last time you surprised your sweetheart with something special? Have things become predictable since then? Time to spice things up again with a huge bouquet of romantic red roses from Pro Flowers. August is National Romance Month, and to celebrate, Pro Flowers is offering a special deal. Get our popular 18 romantic red roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Yes, not just a dozen, but 18 stunning red roses sent fresh from the fields that are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days. Plus a free glass vase, all for just $19.99. Imagine the look on her face when a stunning bouquet of 18 romantic red roses arrives from you, totally out of the blue. Hurry, because this amazing deal ends this Friday. The only way to get this incredible offer is to go to proflowers.com, click the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 4646. That's proflowers.com, secret code 4646.
Doing the laundry can be expensive. How can you save money? ABC's Daria Albinger has the answer.
Do you ever wonder how much money goes down the drain when you do the wash? Consumer Reports' Pat Slavin did 50 loads to find a detergent with the most bang for its buck.
We have a palette of soils and stains that include blood, wine, ring around the collar.
Tide Ultra Stain Release and Tide Plus Bleach Alternative got top marks for AG machines. For regular machines, members Mark Ultimate Clean or Whisk Deep Clean. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
A three-wheeled two-seater that gets about 84 miles per gallon will soon be hitting the production line. The maker Elio Motors says that the tiny car is about the size of a Honda Fit, but will sell for about half the price, $6,800. SeaWorld, hurt by negative publicity surrounding the treatment of its killer whales, says it will build new, larger environments for the whales. Some tanks will be twice the size they are now. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives.
Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. For those who are offended by my new song today, it's real. And with the era that I grew up in, that was Sly and the Family Stone. We were talking about Woodstock a few minutes ago early when I started the show, because today is the anniversary of 69, the beginning of Woodstock. And this is being played at the same time. And race relations are still here. 50 years later, you got a black man in the White House is out playing golf, and you got this going on here. And the mentality, even though if it's not said openly, it's being said silently, especially with what's going on today. And unless both African Americans and white Americans change their mentality and take an interest in the other people and start treating people as people, quit painting everyone with the same brush, and really understanding what's going on in other communities and other cultures, because the problem they're having is we've never dealt with it. We tried to integrate it, but we never wanted to deal with the deep-seated misunderstanding, the deep-seated prejudices, the deep-seated misunderstandings of one another. And so instead of us now having one-sided racism and one-sided prejudices and one-sided bigotry, now it's a dual highway going in opposite directions, and it's on both sides, and it's not getting better. And we've got people who are opportunists who are using the quote-unquote race card for money, because racism breeds money. People make money off of racism, and they don't care about the goal and the end of it, because as long as it never ends, that's how much money they'll make, because no one wants to tell the truth about it, because there are good people and there are bad people in both cultures, but all societies, they are. They're good and bad. You got good cops and bad cops. True. Black and white. True. But until we change our mind, we will never change our direction. Go ahead, Diva. Good morning. Hey, Eric, your mic is on also.
Okay.
Good morning. I just saw on Facebook where they found a new eyewitness to this thing, and I think that cooler heads need to prevail, because her testimony can kind of shine light on both sides. And her statement was there was a struggle. The boy was outside the car. The police officer was inside the car. The door was closed. And there was a struggle, a tussle seemingly through the window. And then Brown started to run away. The police got out, started chasing him, shot him. Brown turns around, puts his hands up, and then the police continues to shoot him. My question is, they need to figure out what was the struggle for, why, and if he truly was trying to go after the police officer's gun, do you kind of step back and say, well, him going after him, as a police officer is trained to do, him shooting him, even though it's excessive, may have been kind of justified because he was probably fearful that he would try it again.
But Diva, this is the issue. Right now, until we quiet the community down and get into order, have outside, Holden said he was going to send some people over there. The governor said he was going to send some people in there. Everybody's going to be investigating this now. That would not be happening if they did not cause a civil unrest. You follow me? So the problem is, if there was no civil unrest, there would be no investigation by the whole country.
And hey, Tracy?
Yeah, Eric?
Yeah, see, that was my issue from the beginning, because that came out, like, hours after the shooting, that there was a report that there was a scuffle inside the vehicle. He reached for the kid's gun. Now, why would the police say, we're not going to rush the judgment, we want to get all the facts out, but yet they had no problem trying to portray this young man as the primary aggressor from the beginning? That I had an issue with.
Again, we need to understand the code blue, what they call the blue code blue.
Blue wall.
Code of silence that officers have amongst themselves.
Blue wall or something.
Something on that, but whatever it is, you know, it's you know, we need to understand that, and I believe that it's very, very real and very, very true. But what I'm saying is, because there is no infiltration of us sitting at any of the tables in influence across this nation, not only just in Ferguson, but in Ohio, in Missouri, in California, in Michigan, because we're not there and we're not willing to make systemic change. See, Martin Luther King, and I keep on referring to him, is because he was actually changing things.
How long did it take when Jim Crow in the mid-1800s to up until Martin Luther King's day? How long of a fight or argument or conversation has been going on about the situation before change was enacted? Change is not going to happen overnight.
And how many years
are we removed from the civil rights movement?
Only
how many decades?
fifth, fourth, five.
It took over 100 years.
No, Diva. It's 100 years from there, but from the civil rights legislation, it's 50 years. We're celebrating 50 this year.
Right.
50 is not a long time.
Was there real, true equality after the civil rights movement? I don't think so.
Listen, what I said was, did you hear? You don't listen. We never dealt with the problem. And yes, it's been 50 years removed, but we still have the same problems because we never dealt with them, white or black. And we still don't have people standing up and doing the right thing. See, the Martin Luther Kings and the Medgar Evers and the Malcolm X's who are willing to take the bullet at all costs, they're not us. That's the problem. Our leadership, the people that we put in office, the people that we put in front of us, the people we put at the table, they are not the Medgar Evers. They are not the Martin Luther Kings. They are not the Malcolm X's. They are not the Rosa Parks of yesterday. Because we won't take a bullet for our people. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the voting patterns of blacks, which are pretty monolithic, I don't understand how a town with 70% black has no elected officials that are black.
I can see how they do that. Their apathy. The brain trust leaves. And we get disengaged. And we say, oh, woe is me, because we don't know how to make a difference. And those of us who know how to make a difference don't make the difference. Like I said to Pianchi earlier, all we have to do is get in position and then go out and find other people and put them in position, bring them back home, and set up our own corporations. But we're not willing to do that, because that takes too much work, too much time. You got to stay up too late. You got to get up too early. You got to work too hard during the middle of the day. I'm watching some things go on in my own community that is blowing my mind, and I'm sitting there going, y'all just don't get it. And I'm not saying that we're supposed to isolate ourselves from white America. That's not what I'm saying. And I think that white America and black America can work together for a good and common America. I do it here every day. So we are proven that we can work together for the same common goal, and we don't always agree. That's why we're here. So it can happen. But if I didn't have them, and if they didn't have me, we'd be missing some things. Truly, I mean, Mark Manji brings something to the table. Stix brings something to the table. Jeff brings something to the table. Ben brings something to the table. Tracy brings something to the table. AJ brings something to the table. Larry brings something to the table. All these little elements of people bringing things together. Dr. Brandy and Dr. Mason, they bring something to the table. And we all bring our positives. So black and white people can work together on a common goal even when they disagree on something. The problem is we're not willing to put down our insecurities and trust people so that we can work with them. Two broke folks can't make nothing. I think my mama used to say two broke clocks can't make time. We've got to do something different. And what's going on, and the problem with what's going on in Missouri is if there had been no civil unrest, there would be no viewpoint of it, and nothing would change. That's what makes it bad. It truly does. And I look at AJ, you're what, 17, 18?
17.
AJ's in the studio with me, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Yeah, I'm a little bit miffed, but I'm not miffed about the young man dying because I feel sorry for his family. I feel sorry for his parents. I hate that he died. But my problem is that he had to die. They had to burn down the city for anybody to pay attention that he died and how he died. That's the problem. I got 440s on me. Well, we don't want nobody around because this is how you act. I don't act like this, so why you want to paint me with this brush?
And I told Tracy and I were talking during the break about this, and I had said to Tracy that I feel like we look too much on the color when it comes to each case, and I feel like that we need to treat each case the same, whether and you need to look at the you need to investigate what happened, and I think people look too much on the color, whether it's a white man shooting a black man shooting a black man, you know, black man shooting a white man, whatever. Each case needs to be handled the same.
But nobody cares.
I care.
No, let me say this. When a white, when a black kid kills a white person, they swoop down, they find out who did it, and there's a swift execution of justice.
And I said that they each case is they jump to conclusions no matter what.
No, 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 no. I'm saying you can see it. We have had this locally. When the white lady that died over at St. Dom's, that she had come to prayer that morning, and they came and robbed her and they killed her. She was 80-some years old. They came in like the police came in like gangbusters. By week's end, they had the kid in handcuffs. He was arrested and arraigned. And the whole city shut down, and they was going to get the kid that killed the white lady.
And they got his brother, too.
Hold on. He is now, the young man has been through, he didn't got arraigned, he didn't got indicted, he didn't go on trial, and he's incarcerated for whatever amount of years they gave him. Mm-hmm. I got a cousin who died 3 years ago. We go to trial on this upcoming Tuesday. And we still waiting.
Really?
Yeah, because you know it's just another black man down.
That's a shame.
I got a nephew that died over on Glenwood, and all he was doing, and he's just going for a ride to go buy. Hold on, Gary, to buy himself a beer. Got shot. They ain't found him yet. They ain't found the person who shot. They got cigarette butts, but they can't find DNA.
I got
a friend that was killed back in 97, got shot twice in the head. Anybody found who did that?
You understand the swiftness of justice does not run for the same clock.
Right.
And that's a problem.
My experience is a little different. When my cousin was killed, it didn't take that long for them to do the investigation, find out who did it, or bring him to trial. Well, maybe because the person who did it was black, but...
It makes a difference. It makes a difference. But as far as the swiftness of justice, and let me say that the outrage of the community when the white lady dies is not the same outrage of a young black man dying anymore. Nobody's upset.
My mic's still on?
Yeah, your mic's on.
Yeah. See, you know, this is where it's a little frustrating because you always see blacks trying to get white folks to like them. Or to see them as human, when if white folk cannot see blacks as human, that's not black folks' problem. Let me give you an example, like with the brother that's with the white guy that's in your studio. He says, "Oh, we keep jumping to conclusions." Well, you have white institutions, colleges, that do nothing but study these types of phenomena. There's a university in Los Angeles that has the biggest budget that does this. Now, here's the issue. We're not at the point where you're talking about, well, let's just wait on the investigation. We're talking about a pattern, man. Black police officers don't kill white boys. Blacks don't. You see what I'm saying? So we're
right.
Past this.
I can agree with that.
Okay, so we're past this point of every time a black gets killed by the police, let's wait on the investigation. We're past that point, man.
Yeah, I understand that. And there is a pattern, like you said. Tracy, you were just telling me during the break that one happened in New York, one happened in Missouri, and I forgot.
One happened in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, right.
And this goes on. And don't get me wrong.
Right.
We need to go after everybody swiftly and equally.
Right. And that's, yeah.
But what I'm saying is that's not how it happened.
Right.
And there's a problem there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought about what Michigan just said. He just said that I have yet to see where a black officer has killed a young black boy.
Yeah.
White boy. Yeah, you don't see it.
Oh, young white boy. I've never seen that. There may be one, but I don't. But he ain't got a job. You follow what's going on here?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I agree.
330-540. Your mic is on.
Yeah. Good morning, Tracy. I wanted to respond to your comments about that shooting that took place about 3 years ago with the lady at St. Dominic's, and your perception of swift justice. Part of what happens in a situation like that is that it was a daylight situation. There were people across the street and in the traffic zone area where that took place who actually saw the perpetrators and gave the police very detailed description of the vehicle and the two perpetrators. The fact that it was black-on-white crime, I don't think had as much to do with the swift justice that you saw take place there. But
Bob,
if we're
you
honest,
and I don't usually, Bob, you and I just don't usually disagree. But let me say this honestly to you. St. Dom wields more power in the city of Youngstown than all the black churches in Youngstown put together. Please understand that.
Oh, I do understand that.
And so when I say this, so it may not be black on white or white on black, but that lady actually coming from out of St. Dom's, and you know Father Matori is a friend of mine, and he is no joke. I love him, but that man and that church wields more power in the city of Youngstown than all 148 we have in the Mahoning Valley. And if it had been in broad daylight coming out of New Bethel, Mount Calvary, the swiftness would not have been the same because it is different. It is what it is. And I'm not saying it's intentional, but they don't wield the swiftness of it. They don't – because the parishioners of St. Dom's, the priests of St. Dom's, if it happened at Mount Carmel, because of their influence, they were going to make sure those people felt safe when they came back over to the south side of Youngstown again. And he made sure that the church stayed there, and they built another $1.5 million building on the side of the church to make a commitment to the south side and to the city of Youngstown. But there is a difference. Because you can go out in the middle of daylight and shoot me in the middle of Borman, and they're not going to move as fast.
Well, part of the problem from my perspective is that when there is a crime such as similar, but black on black, let's say, would you not agree that the power that the local scofflaws have within the community seem to be on a par with what you were just mentioning that the Catholic Church has? Because if the police round up 20 people who were in that vicinity when something black on black happens, ain't nobody seen nothing. I wasn't there. Don't talk to me. I don't know nothing.
You
in other words, nobody wants to talk. Or if somebody does, the next thing you know, they get a visit from gang members who are threatening them. They're threatening their grandma. They're threatening their children, and they're burning their houses down. And so we have let the dregs of society dictate where justice takes place. You see it day after day. These young men and women that are incarcerated either in Mahoning County Jail or the city jail or up at JJC, they don't come to trial because they can't get anybody to step up and bear witness against them, because 24 hours or less after the crime takes place, anybody and everybody that was witness to it has already been threatened. They're afraid for their lives. Well, until we take that weapon out of the hands of our these young gang members and the so-called toughs, and I'm not sure exactly how to do that, nothing is going to change. But the black community has to step up to that responsibility and support their people and their broken and wounded families by saying this far and no farther. We have to take back our city.
I have to counter that slightly because the case of what happened where the mistaken identity shooting on Southern Boulevard, the man who did it, I went to school with, I was friends with, knew his family. They forced his family members to turn on him. They forced to make sure they got what they needed in that investigation. But when it comes to black on black and black people get to saying, well, I want nothing to do with it, they just put their hands up and back off.
But the point is,
when it's black on white, they will make sure they do whatever they can to get the people to talk.
Hold on, Diva, you said that already. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I wanted to ask Diva the question. She says they forced somebody to come forward. Who is the they that did the forcing, and who are the people that came forward?
Bob, you have to understand, the law enforcement, you know, I can pressure you more than I do based upon the intensity of me getting to my end result. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand, but don't get me wrong.
I agree.
Remember, black community truly cared, they would step forward without coercion from the police,
Bob,
the prosecutor, or anybody else. We have to get together and clean up our neighborhoods, and if it comes only through coercion, then so be it. The crime still has to stop because that's what's killing our kids.
But you heard what
there's
I said.
Only
I agree.
Hold on, Diva.
Hold on. Bob, did you hear me say I agree with you? Did you miss that part?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't miss that.
Okay. So I agree with you, and I understand where you're coming from with this. I agree. But I also, we have a mentality in the community that says don't snitch. What kind of mess is that?
That's where you have to nip this in the bud. You have to supply.
But hold on. But you also have to understand that if I snitch, I got to come home.
I fully understand that, Tracy. I grew up on the South Side. I know what this stuff looks like, tastes like, and smells like. Okay, I lived there.
But I got to come home, and see, when I come home, my baby got to go to school tomorrow morning. So there's a problem, and what can happen is we can start by doing some. I got to take a break. We can start by doing some things differently, but we need the backing of the government to help us. And when I say that, you guys know I'm no enabler of the government, but I think that we need to have some type of inner city witness protection programs for gang violence in our communities, so that when people do snitch, and they do tell. Especially on gang members, and there can be retaliation. You're going to give me opportunity to make myself and my children safe while I'm telling you the truth about what's going on in my community.
Well, we have to figure out a way to get that accomplished much more readily, Tracy, or nothing is going to change. The gang members are going to be running our cities for us, and in so doing, they're going to be destroying the inner city families.
But I need to make sure that when you see my son walking down the street, and even I disagree with him busting a sag and having on a hoodie, I need to make sure that just because you don't like what he wears and he's got tattoos all over the place, and yeah, he may smoke some marijuana and I'm really not happy about it, I got to make sure that you guys don't come up on him and shoot him because you look at him and you think that he's violent.
Well, there
because
again, that comes
because,
back,
because
back,
Bob,
back to the home,
let me say this:
you know.
My godson, he got a flippant mouth, and he got a. I got in trouble with his mama because I smacked him one day.
Good for you.
Nah, I mean, I did. I got in trouble because I told him to quit messing around with my little crazy dog and scaring the crap out of her, and he kept on doing it. He wouldn't listen, and so I popped him. And he's 18 years old, and they got mad at me. Well, I've learned. You got to listen to somebody sometime because it might save your life. That's how I was raised.
Absolutely.
I got in trouble for smacking him. But guess what? I'll take the hit. Y'all ain't got to talk to me Because yep. I need for because he I don't like his lifestyle. I don't like what he's doing. I expected more out of him. I expected him to be doing other things. So he's made some life choices that I don't agree with. But I don't want to see him walking down the street one day or getting pulled over by the police one day. And because he looks at like what you think a thug and or a gang member is, I don't want you to shoot him because he's not. He's just rebellious. He's bad. He's disobedient. He's
a teenager.
He ought to grow up by now. And he's taking too long.
Tracy. You keep going, Tracy. We agree.
But I just don't want him. But don't shoot him because he's stupid. Give him some time. And what's happening in the black community is that we're getting killed before we get time.
I completely understand your passion and your and where you're coming from. And the sad thing is when you get your family coming against you because you had the audacity to discipline where they would not, shame on them, because where your only comeback to them is I would rather you be angry with me than me stand next to you at a kid wishing, oh, I wish poor Johnny wasn't dead, because
but
that's the reality check they need to get.
But you got to understand, I mean, they felt as though I shouldn't have done that to him because he couldn't hit me back, because if he had hit me back, I'd try to kill him. But that's not the point. I'm doing what I was raised with.
You did for him what his parents wouldn't do, and that's called discipline. God bless you. You're a woman of, you know, of true valor to be able to do that and take that stand. Because someday they'll wake up and realize that you cared more about this young man, your nephew, than even his own parents, and that's sometimes hard for a parent to see.
I don't think they care more. They just don't have the heart. I come from an old school. I got to take a break.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. We'll see you on the other side.
Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
I'm Lou Flores with your headline news. A new charter school in Columbiana County will be preparing students to work in the oil and gas industry. The Utica Shale Academy held an open house Thursday evening. The school will be offering students in grade 9 through 12 a high school diploma, as well as different certifications in the oil and gas field. An Austin Town couple faces charges after police found what they say is a methamphetamine lab in their home. Officers searched the residence of Sherry Smart, 32, and Thomas Smart, 39, last week. Police said they found evidence that meth was being produced at the home. No charges were filed at the time, but the couple's two young children were placed in the care of relatives. Mahoning County Drug Task Force Commander Jeff Solick said police were waiting for lab results to come back when they received a tip that the Smarts were packing up their belongings in an attempt to flee. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
...1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and it is 41 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on WSOM and the 15th of August, 2014. And I hope you're having a good day today. I've got AJ in studio with me, and we're talking about Ferguson, Missouri, which is a borough or a suburb in a city, should I say, inside of St. Louis, Missouri, inside of St. Louis County, which sits in Missouri, and it's in its outlying suburb of St. Louis. So when you and people are using them interchangeably, but this is called Ferguson, and it's like a little suburb that goes sits on the outside. And they've had civil unrest because a young man has gotten killed. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are taking offense to me playing Sly and the Family Stone is what they call message music from the 60s. And if you did not hear it, everybody had it. I mean, Mark Mangi and I were sitting down, and he was showing – he had me listening to other music that was done by white folks that was message music at the time because they wanted to stop the racism, they wanted to stop the violence, they wanted to stop the prejudices of the 60s, and we'll have to do the show on that one day. But I wanted to pull this up because of the mindset that people have. And see, what I've just played is the subconscious mind of what's going on in America today, especially with the unrest that's going on, even across our cities, that's not being violent. The violence that's going on, when I look at, because my friendships are diverse, some of the things that I see posted on my Facebook page, it's like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? Because, you know, white folks want to incite that black folks are bad, and they're getting an unfair shake, and black folks want to incite that white folks are bad because they're getting an unfair shake. And I'm going, whoa, we need to really come together on this, because all wrong is wrong no matter who does the wrong. And we need to do better. But the last thing I want to see coming out of Ferguson, Missouri, is another young man lose his job, another young boy lose his life, and then there's no true root systemic change. If you don't have systemic change, you don't have anything.
You want to see, when a crime like this happens, that town or city is always labeled for, oh, that's where this crime happened. It never says, oh, well, this crime happened, but this is what came out of it that was good.
Because I was, as I've said, Stanley, Eric, your mics are on. I was in Los Angeles for the, I was in L.A. for the Los Angeles riots, for the Rodney King riots. And I'm from here. And I guess I was 27, 28 years old. And I really want y'all to know, I looked and said, what are you? And I was working for a Fortune 500 company, and we had gone out that morning because my regional director was there, my local director was there, my local manager was there, and somebody from corporate was there. And they came in to work with me for the day. And I took them around to the salons in the inner city where I'm from, and because I took care of the inner city and the job that I had. And then we went to Beverly Hills for lunch. And when we got done, they told me that I could go head on because they could take it from here. And the riots broke out. And we need to understand how people think and how people treat people, and because of who they think and they perceive people are. And our prejudices are really killing our country, because your prejudices are nothing but a prejudgment of something that you don't know or don't know. The ignorance that people have causes prejudice. Prejudice is prejustice, prejudge. That's what it means. And we need to understand that if we keep on remaining ignorant, we will always have prejudice. Prejudice turns into racism, and racism turns into bigotry. Bigotry is hatred. Racism is based upon a person's race. Do I have this superior attitude?
Don't forget about stereotyping.
And stereotype. And because I've got this going on here, it's building a bad, bad kettle of stuff. Eric, you there?
Hey, I'm here.
You from Warren? Because Warren's still tough.
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, Michigan was on to something there. Because in Warren, I don't think there's ever been a black officer involved shooting.
Uh-uh. There might be a shooting, but he didn't kill a white kid.
Nope.
Youngstown either, that I can recall. We know better. I got a friend over there right now who's in some hot water, who's a policeman that I've known for a long time. And when I hear the story from him and what I see that he's been indicted on, it's two different stories.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. I know you do.
because people are prejudiced.
Absolutely.
They're
hatred.
Stereotype.
What'd you say?
I said, what he's in trouble for is nothing. None of them other cops have done it in the past.
Oh, they've been doing it for a long time.
Like Tracy said off the air, she told me, I think she said on the air too, that she knows good cops, and she also knows bad cops.
Oh, I love them. I love the police chief that we have right now, Robin Leeds. I love him. I think he's the best thing
but
since sliced bread.
But is there really
Don't
a such thing
that,
as
though.
A? Is there really a such thing as a good cop when that cop refuses to turn on the bad cop?
Yeah, there is. And when I say that, it's not turning on the bad cop. Because remember, these cops don't let everybody know what's going on. I mean, Diva, if you do something and I consider you a friend, and you've saved my life in the past, and you've got my back, and you cheat on your husband, am I going to go tell him?
That's different.
No, it's not.
My husband didn't commit a crime.
We're not talking about crimes, and don't get me wrong. It's not that they don't tell on them, because remember, another officer was not there. But there is they do have a solidarity, and they need to have the solidarity, because remember, these guys are depending on these other guys to take a bullet with them or for them.
Yeah, but to lie and cover up for wrongdoing?
You're missing the point. See, our
How
problem
am I
is
missing
we want
the point?
To, because... Because if you kill somebody, I should tell. But we don't always have to expose everybody's sins because...
I'm not talking about exposing everything. When we're talking about good cop, bad cop. Now, you skimming some money off
but
of Dina, a drug dealer. Okay, yeah, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But
no, you're not.
You killing somebody or doing something worse that against somebody who was innocent, and I'm going to keep my mouth shut because... You have may have because you my brother in blue.
Can I say can
or
I,
my
okay,
sister
Diva,
in blue?
Diva, let's go through this scenario. And I hope and I don't think there are too many police officers out there that would cover up a murder. Very few. Don't get me wrong. So let's not say that they would. But let's say this. You knew I took money off of a drug dealer. Okay? And you knew and I'm not just one. I've been in law enforcement for 15 years. I've been doing this for 15 years. And you know it. You shoot a kid. Now, are you concerned about me? If I come out and say, well, yeah, he shot him in cold blood, am I concerned about you turning on me and telling them that I took money because you got a track record of all the money I took?
So are you saying since because I have some on you or you have some on me, then I'm going to keep my mouth shut? Is that how it goes?
Do you understand how that
works?
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
If you know my sins, you know. I mean, you know them. You know what I've done. You know what I've done wrong. And you kept it silent for all these years. And then you know I go out and kill somebody or do something I have no business doing, and it's something like that. Do you really think I'm going to tell? Because I'm afraid that if I tell your sin, you're going to tell mine.
So, again, my question is, then are there really does that really make you a good cop?
Yes,
when
no,
you're sworn
no,
to
no, no, you, I said, there's a cop that would take money off a dope dealer is just as dirty as a cop who would kill somebody, in my opinion. The majority of law enforcement officers that are out there are not those people.
But they won't tell on
that's
the dirty
not,
cop
no, that's
either.
That's not true, Diva. That's not true. It's not that they will not tell. That's not true. They will tell.
How many of them stood up for the guy who killed Oscar Grant? How many stood up for that
Oscar
cop?
Grant? Who's Oscar Grant?
Oscar Grant is the cat that got killed on the platform because there was a fight. He was sitting there handcuffed. The police officer claims he pulled out his taser gun. And instead, why are you pulling out the taser when he's handcuffed?
Diva, you talk too much. We don't even know what the heck you're talking about.
I'm trying to explain, and
if you want to explain, then you're going to tell us where is he from.
Okay, California.
Thank you. You never heard of
Oscar.
Diva.
You never heard of the movie Fruitvale?
No.
Fruitvale Station?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oscar Grant, there's a situation in a subway station in California. What seemed like happened was the police were responding to a outbreak of a fight. They apprehended several individuals. They had them sitting handcuffed on the platform. Oscar Grant running his mouth to the police officer. So the police officer, they tussle him, bring him down. He's lying flat on his back. The police officer is standing over him, pulls out his gun and shoots him cold dead in the back. I thought I was drawing my taser. I was going to tase him.
Diva?
None of those cops really stood up and said, yeah, that was wrong.
Your voice is annoying. Diva, I said the majority of our law enforcement officers are good people and good cops. You have the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule still stands. There are good officers out there.
There are.
There are very good officers out there. I have some very, very high regard for a lot of them. And I'm pretty honest. I was telling AJ during the break, I've got some friends that were bad cops. And I know they were bad cops, yet they love me. I can tell the difference between those that like me and are bad cops and those that are good cops and they're good cops. I know some good ones, and I know some bad ones. And just because I think they're bad doesn't mean they get fired because they didn't do anything in front of me. I just know they're bad cops. Yet, there is a respect that we have, a mutual respect that we have one for another, that they respect me not to cross me, and I respect them not to cross them.
You still didn't answer question. You're wanting to go around the specific question.
What question, Diva?
If you are a cop, you are sworn to serve and protect.
I did answer the question. Bad cops are not stupid. Bad cops don't do dumb things in front of good cops. They know who's got their back and who's going to cover for them and who's not. You understand that?
If you say so.
Here at Pet Spa.
They're not. I mean, bad cops aren't stupid. They just do dumb stuff. Shelly, good morning. Go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say, in the case of Oscar Grant, I mean, yeah, that's unfortunate, but, I mean, there was internal investigation, and they made a decision. I don't think the police, they can tell them what happened, but that doesn't matter. If the internal investigation says he's clear of any wrongdoing, which I think he shouldn't have been, you know, that is what it is. He shouldn't have been, but that's what happened.
And that's what we have to be mindful of. We have to be very, very mindful of that. I mean, you've got good teachers. The majority of our teachers out there are very, very good. And then you've got some bad ones. Mm-hmm. The majority of the population, black or white, the majority of African Americans are good people. They're family people. They're hardworking. Mm-hmm. They have integrity. They want things for their life. They want things for their future.
That's how it is for anything.
The 80-20 rule still works. It's still there.
In any kind of situation, a cop, a teacher,
people.
People. There's good people and there's bad people. In any situation, it's not just police officers or teachers. It's anyone, you know.
And we've got to start looking at the 80 and not the 20. And we need to start taking the 80 and working to make sure that the 80 is seen and not the 20. But the squeaky, you know, they said the squeaky wheel gets the oil. We pay more attention to the other part of that 20 than we do to the 80.
And you have people even that you work with.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you don't like.
Absolutely. No, I like all my.
I'm talking about for everyone.
But don't tell Jeff.
I won't tell Jeff.
Okay, don't tell Jeff.
Okay, but and it's same in the. And there's people I work with that I absolutely can't stand, but I still respect them because you know I have to because they're above me in the workforce. But there's also good people that I work with that I enjoy working with because. They're genuinely good people.
Diva, have you heard of when she asked, they say, ask Diva, when has she heard of one cop turning into a rogue cop? Diva?
Say that again.
You got 2 minutes to tell me. When's the last time you heard a cop turning into a rogue cop?
I'm not understanding the question. What do you mean? Was the last time I heard a cop turning into a rogue cop?
Let me say this. Bad people get on the force, and they were bad people when they got there. But when good people get on the force, it's kind of hard for them to turn into a rogue cop.
I'm not saying a good cop turning into a bad cop, meaning they do bad things. What I'm saying is a cop who really is about his job protecting and serving, and that's what he really got on the force to do. But he possibly has a partner who is not thinking that same and who does not have that same mentality, does something wrong, and refuses to turn on that person just because they have that they silent wall. No, they don't. My mother used to date a cop back in the day, and that was the code. You don't turn on your brother.
But in your day, let me say this. What happens within the administrations of companies and what is bad in the police department, they don't want the bad press. So they try to take care of it internally without having letting it leak out. The same thing happens in the black community. And with that, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
On iHeartRadio, iHeartRadio.com.
Everyone faces...
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Vellante. The name of the officer who shot and killed an unarmed teen in Ferguson, Missouri, has been named. ABC's Jim Ryan is there.
His name is Darren Wilson. He's been with the department for the last 6 years. The police chief also says that there was a strong-arm robbery that officer was investigating. He came across Michael Brown about a block and a half away from that convenience store. That is where the shot was fired.
Police say Brown was a suspect in the robbery and have released pictures of a man that looks like him in the convenience store. And the police chief says there was a struggle over the officer's gun before Brown was shot. Two young Amish girls are being questioned about what happened to them after they were abducted from their family's roadside farm stand in upstate New York.
We're told that they appeared healthy. They were just a little cold and wet. Investigators are trying to get information about what exactly happened, but we're told that they were dropped off by this car that police believe kidnapped them.
That's ABC's Gio Benitez. Pope Francis held his first public mass in South Korea this morning.
A cheering crowd of 50,000 Catholics greeted Pope Francis on his second day in South Korea in Daejeon World Cup Stadium. At the Holy Mass, he sent a message to care for the poor and prayed in English for the victims of the ferry disaster in April that took more than 300 lives, mostly school children.
May the Lord welcome the dead into his peace.
Then he met with young Asian Catholics, thousands gathered in a tent with banners and cameras. The Pope gave a speech calling for peace and to reject materialism. Chuhi Cho, ABC News, Seoul, South Korea.
Your cup of coffee may contain soybeans, sugar, and other fillers.
There's more demand for coffee beans, and there's a temptation to increase your profits by doing it. It's purely economics-driven.
But expert Professor Alan Grozier with the University of Glasgow says that once ground up, you would never know the difference. This is ABC News.
Stay tuned for a surprise summer sale from Pro Flowers, our biggest sale on romantic red roses.
Was Valentine's Day the last time you surprised your sweetheart with something special? Have things become predictable since then? Time to spice things up again with a huge bouquet of romantic red roses from Pro Flowers. August is National Romance Month, and to celebrate, Pro Flowers is offering a special deal. Get our popular 18 romantic red roses plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Yes, not just a dozen, but 18 stunning red roses sent fresh from the fields that are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days, plus a free glass vase, all for just $19.99. Imagine the look on her face when a stunning bouquet of 18 romantic red roses arrives from you, totally out of the blue. Hurry, because this amazing deal ends this Friday. The only way to get this incredible offer is to go to proflowers.com, click the blue microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 4646. That's proflowers.com, secret code 4646.
Love chocolate and have a lot of money? This crazy complete bathroom suite maybe for you. ABC's Tom Rivers explains.
If money's no object, you want the whole deal. The chocolate tub, the toilet, the basin, and the bidet. That'll set you back a cool $134,000. Made from 100% Belgian chocolate, it translates into about a dozen years' worth of calories for the average person. Delivery takes 2 to 3 months. One safety note, keep the items away from direct sunlight, radiators, and hot liquids. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
A rare 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO, once owned by a famed racing driver and Olympic gold medalist, has sold for nearly $35 million. Thursday sale at an auction in California during Monterey Car Week is believed to be a record public auction price for a classic car, topping the nearly $30 million paid for a Mercedes W196 last year in England. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
If your computer is running slow, go to MyCleanPC.com and get a free computer diagnosis. In minutes, you can activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk that may be slowing down your computer. Increase your computer speed today with MyCleanPC.com.
I have a 70-pound Royal Standard Poodle. Her name is Zelia. And 3 years ago, Zelia's ears were a mess. She would have sticky, gooey, smelly discharge in her ears. We took Zelia to the vet 7 times of $150 every time. The vet offered no success at all. My wife and I are driving, and we hear some people on the radio saying D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.
859-428-1000. The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
6 days after I started feeding her Dinovite, my dog's ear problems were cured. My dog no longer yelps. She can be petted without pain, and it's because Dinovite made our dog healthy again.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired, or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions can be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
I'm here to tell you about an amazing new acne treatment that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. It's called Proactiv Plus. It's totally new, totally advanced. Proactiv Plus is their best, most effective solution ever from the number one name in acne care. If your goal is a flawless complexion, call 1-800-260-3007. 1-800-260-3007. That number again is 1-800-260-3007.
Mark Levin.
If Barack Obama had been president instead of Ronald Reagan during the Reagan two terms, do you think the Soviet Union would have been defeated? Of course not, because Reagan had his head screwed on right.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, I want you to join into the conversation. It is open mic. I was talking about Ferguson, Missouri. We had not really talked about it all week long because I wanted to wait and see what was the particulars. I didn't want to get caught up in the emotion of it. And I'm learning from my own experiences. When we get caught up in the emotions of some things, we actually lose. Because you lose really all depth of thought. So we just get engaged and we get our blood going, and next thing you know, we've made a decision and we run with it. Because I'm concerned, very, very concerned that but at the end of the day, when all this wears out, we may come up with a case that may not be what we thought, We may end up with a verdict that we may not like, and we won't have an outcome that was beneficial for the unrest. And then we won't have a plan so that doesn't happen again. Because 50 years later, you would think we would have changed some things and done some things different, and we're not. Stanley, your mic is on.
Hello?
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah. Good morning, Stanley.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying. I agree with 90% of what you're saying. The only thing that I had a little problem is, the only thing I had a little problem is when you decided, I guess, to go against your cousin and hit him and things like that. I don't understand that philosophy.
Don't go there because I know that you're anti corporal punishment. And I didn't slap him hard. I didn't slap him. I didn't pop him and I didn't beat him. It didn't hurt him. It hurt his ego more than it hurt anything else. And it was the first time that his lovely aunt that he loved so greatly had ever reprimanded him in his life.
Okay. But you couldn't reprimand him another way than slapping him?
No, because he wasn't listening. He was failing to listen, and he's hard-headed. Hard head makes soft butt.
Okay.
I mean,
did you ever ask yourself why he wasn't hard listening? Maybe he had a point.
Stanley, he's hard-headed. He's got his own mind.
Okay, so now if a kid is hard-headed, we justify it by hitting them.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, let me say this to you this way, Stanley. In my home, and in my view, I'm going to try my best to not use corporal punishment on you. But by
how many times are you going to try your best? Are you going to try one time best? Are you going to try 100?
The boy was 18, 19 years old. Get it? Understand?
Exactly. A hard head makes a soft butt, but it also gets you in obituaries too. That's the point.
I was spanked, and I am still smacked to this day, and I think I'm a better person for it because I knew not to do whatever it was that I shouldn't do for the next time because I knew I'd get spanked when I was a little kid.
We're not talking about – I didn't beat the kid with a 2x4. I didn't even hurt him. He's bigger than me, he's taller than me, and he's broader than me. I bruised his ego, and he needed to have it deflated because he needs to understand that no matter how big he is, how grown he is, that when he calls me, as mad as I can get at him, I'm going to have his back. But I expect for him to be obedient to me no matter what because I love him.
Okay. So going to your philosophy, so basically you're saying as a man that I have the right to basically slap a woman because she didn't obey me. She didn't. We could go far with this, Tracy. I can take your whole philosophy, and I can go very far. And say, okay, so as a man, I have the right to slap a woman because she didn't obey me.
Stanley, you didn't gone too far.
No, went off the rails with that.
Yeah.
You didn't gone too far.
What is the difference?
There's a difference between trying to control a person and disciplining someone who is being just disobedient. There's a difference between a woman having her own mind and saying, I'm going to go against the man that I'm with, and a child,
okay,
or someone who is looked at in a child capacity being disrespectful and disobedient.
It'd be better Tracy's hand than a bullet of a rogue cop. Do you understand?
Yeah, but Diva just made a great point. I just want to make sure I understand, because Diva just made a great point. There's a difference between a woman having her own mind. Do we don't think that a child has their own mind?
No, you don't know. I don't come from the school where kids have rights. Hold on, I got to pick up a local call. 330-398. How are you? Good morning.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm just gonna make a quick statement and I'll get off the air. A child having their own mind. Let me just say this real quick. Child's mind is not fully developed until the age of 21. I don't care what the law does, say they're adults at the age of 18, they're not, until their mind is fully developed. But I just wanted to touch on this thing about the cops, the good cops, bad cops, percentage of good cops versus bad cops. Let me tell you something. from the civil service side, from the inside. Cops, feel cops that they cannot trust. The smart cop is a cop that keeps his mouth shut and don't even look funny because they'll make you disappear. Now, as far as that makes them all a part of the same hypocrisy, whether they did it or not. Thank you. Have a good weekend, Tracy.
Hey, thanks
Thank
a
you.
Lot.
All right.
Larry, your mic is on.
How you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Larry.
Well, you know, you got Stanley on there. And, I mean, I'm trying. It's Friday. It's going to be a good weekend. But this guy is the biggest hypocrite walking on the face of the earth today. If he will get on here and beat up America because we have no business to tell other countries how to act. But then he's going to tell me or you how to act on our children.
No, I'm not going to tell you how to act on our children. I'm not going to tell you how to act, but I'm going to tell you there's consequence of doing that because there's some kids you do that and basically brings up to the point that you that kid will never talk to you anymore and will never trust you because you've done that.
Hey. I'm sorry.
And to tell you the truth, I am one of those examples, and it took
Stanley,
me a long time to forgive
Stanley,
my mom for what she
Stanley.
Did. Okay, Stanley,
you keep on bringing your own personal scenario in here.
Yes, I keep on bringing my personal
thing because
if I don't bring my personal thing,
Stanley,
then people could say, you don't know what it
you
is.
Don't, but Stanley, what I'm saying is we're not talking about beating a child. We're not talking about abuse of a child.
So what
we're
are
talking
we
about correct.
About
listen, there comes. There are some. You may have been a child that did not need corporal punishment for correction. There are children, and you need to. A good parent sits down and figures out their child and what makes their child tick. Some children.
Whoa. I agree with you.
Okay, so let me finish, Stanley. Some children. All you got to do is look at them, and they're done.
Yes.
Some children. All you got to do is put them on punishment, and they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Some children need time out. Some children, you just have to yell at them. Some children, like me, you got to get my attention, because if you don't get my attention, I'm going to do what I do and, you know, the heck with you. And that's who I am. My godson is like me. He's like me. He's very much like me to a fault. But if you don't get correction, then you'll be wayward. And I don't want to see him incarcerated, and I don't want to see him in a box. And he's the kind of young man, because of his attitude and because of the strong willingness of his mind and because he's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it and because of his mouth, he is the kind that could end up in a box or end up incarcerated. Who are his guidance counselors who love him, because I'm not going to hurt him. I'm not going to kill him,
but Tracy, I
popped him upside. Stanley, I have yelled at him in the past years. I have talked to him in the past years. I have corrected him in the past years, but I have never, ever hit him in the past years. It took me until he was 20 years old. And I did not slap him because I don't believe that you should slap a man. I popped him upside the neck. Listen, I bruised his ego more than I bruised anything else on him.
And it ain't about him liking you or not.
I just want to come back to what she said before you go inside. How many parents do what you did? How many parents basically know?
Wait.
You
missed my point. I ain't got to wait. What I said is I ain't talking about how many parents. I'm talking about me.
Exactly.
I ain't talking about nobody else. Crazy
yeah,
parents don't need kids.
Okay.
I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm talking about Tracy. I'm not going to come to your house. Stanley, I'm not going to come to your house and tell you how to raise your kids. But I will say this. If your kids are crazy, you don't have to worry about me coming back to your house but once. Because I don't need crazy kids.
Exactly.
Crazy kids, I don't mess around with them. Kids that don't listen, don't come around me. I will leave. Kids that don't listen to their own parents, I'm not playing with them. I am not a kid person like that. I don't like kids enough.
Yeah, you want to get personal.
Spend enough money in all the country to get me to go become a teacher. Because I don't do crazy kids.
Me either.
Nope.
Now, my daughter, I spanked that butt.
Hold on, Diva.
No,
you missed the point. Hold on. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Hey, I'm looking for Alabama down in ATL. Where you at, Alabama?
He ain't even on the phone. Hey, Jeffrey.
I know.
Why is it that I can't reach you at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, hey, I was in the mountains, girl. we couldn't be reached.
Did you hear me tell you that you are crazy that y'all was that old and drove that late at night? Old people are not supposed to drive at night like that.
Well, when I get your age, then I won't drive that late at night. Now look. You know, Stanley, you were abused, obviously, because you resented it. But people that are corrected, they love their parents. You know why? Because you cared enough to correct them and show them what was right. And
absolutely,
a lot of times that takes you having to spank that behind. And I didn't spank nothing else but a behind. Maybe a leg with a belt here and there, but it was a behind where it's not gonna hurt. It's not, you know, any lasting hurt. And you know that you were corrected. And when my daughter came to me last year and said, "I'm glad you all raised me," not that she ain't never done nothing wrong or made no mistakes, that ain't got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with she knows right from wrong, and she knows it in a balance, and she knows we love her. And all my relatives know the same, because that's how we were raised. There is a balance, and if you don't do it, the Bible says you already drove your child, delivered his soul to hell. And that's why you see this young man that evidently told the cop he wasn't going to get out the street. And the cop told him to get out the street. And he said, "We ain't getting out the street till we get it." And now he's dead. Whether it was his fault or not, it doesn't matter. It matters that if he had had discipline, he would listen to what the cop said, and he'd be alive today. Wake
Jeff.
Up.
And now let me say this. I have learned that you have to have respect for authority, whether you agree with it or not.
Right.
And if you don't teach your child respect for authority, you lose. Go ahead, AJ.
Jeff, you met my dad, and you know he's a tall guy. He's built. He's a strong guy. When I was little, I knew what was right and what was wrong, and it was my choice when I would either choose the wrong way or the right way. But I knew that if I chose the wrong way, I was going to get spanked.
Here's the thing, though, Tracy. Yeah.
And so that's why, that's why I agree with Tracy 100%, because when I was little, I knew what was right and what was wrong.
It broke his ego. I mean, I popped his ego. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, Tracy. Yeah, I mean, like when I was growing up as a teenager, I played football. I could bench press my dad, but I wouldn't put my hands on him.
And those people who have been disciplined by their parents, you don't have to worry about them having elder abuse. You don't have to worry about them, you know, fighting you. You may try your dad, but then you have to take back, you know, I have a friend and he's got five boys, and they circled him one day and said, you know, they thought he was going to take him down. And he said, "You know what, I can't beat all five of you, but the first one that hits me is going to die." And they all looked at each other, and they all went away. Hold on. 3-6.
Fifth family.
I got to call out. Oh, no, it is. 3-3-9-8. Hold on. I got a local call. Your mic is on.
Hey, how you doing, Trace?
Hey, good. How you doing, Floyd?
I'm doing all right. I was just listening to the radio, and they just said that he was a suspect in a robbery. I mean, the story just changed up. It was a robbery, and they said that he was a suspect in it, but before it was all about him getting off the sidewalk. So, you know, it's gonna be on now.
Everybody need to calm down, go home, and get it done.
Yeah, I hope they do calm down, but you know that's not gonna sound.
They have to, because if they don't calm down, there will be nothing that will come out of this that is good.
Right. Well, here we go again. again.
No, we're going to do better than go again. We're going to do better than that. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing, Tracy?
I'm doing good. Don't beat your kids because Stanley's going to call the po-po on you.
Man, you know, it's wild, Tracy, too, because I hear what you said. My son, I had to get in the backside there. But there come a point where it wasn't working for him. It made him angry. So I just came out with some different kind of punishments. You know what I mean? Taking stuff away and doing stuff. But you had to.
Oh, yeah, I got stuff taken away all the time.
But Stanley used his experience because, like Jeff said, obviously there were some issues there. But he has no problem telling me or you how to raise your kids. You know, and that's very, I just don't understand the philosophy around that. But,
you know what?
I don't know, Trey. Who knows?
It's not that I have a problem with you raising your kid. It's I'm asking you as a parent that you basically have 2,000 ways to raise a kid.
No,
and I'm
don't.
Sorry, as a parent. Wait. Let me just finish because I heard everybody. And I'm sorry to say, Tracy, a lot of parents don't think like the way you do. A lot of parents don't think, okay, what are the 20 ways that I could basically influence my kid? They think only one way. My father was raised that way. I'm going to raise my kid that way. My father told me to beat the crap out of me. I'm going to raise my son. They don't think your way of saying, like what you said, oh, I tried to yell at him. I tried to take out his stuff. I tried to – no. They go to the first thing they learn. They go to, hey, my mom told me to hit him. My father learned me, teach me that. I'm going to teach that to my son. I'm going to teach discipline that way. So don't act like all parents are doing that, because if all parents would do that, there would be a lot less hitting. Trust me.
Really?
All parents are doing I'm going to what you're saying, Tracy, when you said, oh, when you're with a kid, you need to sit down and find out how to influence it. I agree with that. How many parents does that? Very few.
A lot.
Very few.
A lot.
No, very few. They go all back. Look, you know what you need to do with your kid. That's what I hear from parents. I don't hear parents that say,
I need to
do this. Please, let's not
the
act
thing
like,
about
like,
it, Stanley, is not all abused kids are going to end up with this resentment carried on their back. I understand where you're coming from. I was abused. But I also had to understand as an adult where my mom was coming from and what she was trying to do, even though it wasn't the correct way. It's still a disciplined form for some parents, even if they go overboard with their correction. And now there's a such thing as abuse, you getting mad and targeting your kids and flicking cigarettes and burning them and stuff. That's different. But if your kid does something wrong and you choke them and the kid is resentful and you think that's the wrong way, okay, I get that you're upset. But then you have to get to the point in place saying, you know what, my parent may not have really known better or knew a better way of doing things. So in that,
but
I don't have resentment.
And
Debbie,
you're right about that,
mother.
Because a lot of people don't know about that. But again, we're in a society today, and Stanley, to your point, we're in a society today where parents don't take the responsibility of parenthood.
Exactly. So don't act like everybody does, because if everybody
we wouldn't have so many problems. Stanley,
please.
I didn't say Stanley, I didn't say everybody, because what also is happening here is we have parents who are not correcting their children either. In any way, we have parents who are trying to become their child's friend. You're not my friend. I'm here to protect you, to cover you, to guide you, and to mold you into a productive adult. That's my job. And until we actually start stepping away and understanding, you know what? You got a Johnny Cleveland shirt on.
Me?
What the heck?
Yeah.
That ain't switching up top. So what else
I did in the middle. I mean, I just looked up and he's been sitting here since, you know, I pulled in here like at 9:05. I never realized that he had on a Johnny Cleveland shirt. Okay, I'm back. I'm coming back. But I'm just saying.
Okay.
We have to really, you know.
What?
You know, Brown. You know, we have to really understand. And Stanley, I can multitask. Stanley,
no, you can't.
Why? Johnny
Cleveland. You were going and you were in a Johnny
Cleveland. You can't do that. I'm sorry. You just can't.
You can't, you, no. You
can't do that?
Not on a radio show.
Oh, okay, sorry about that, everyone. Yes, I can. That's why it's called Tracy and Friends.
Okay, there you go.
I just want everyone, Stanley, and I understand where you're coming from. But you, we can't become, you have to do some things. Because if you love your child, you're going to correct them. At whatever cost there is. My mom told me that she was going to beat me, and she spanked me. But she was going to spank me because she did not want law enforcement to beat me. That was her philosophy. She said, so before I see you incarcerated, I'm going to correct you. I thought she was trying to kill me. And actually, most of the time, I can look back, and I only can say, if I'm willing to be honest with all of you, she could have done a little bit better because she didn't know it all, but I needed every one I got.
Every parent has their own style.
No, I needed some more. She, you
it
know.
Depends, like you said before, it depends on the kid. I have an aunt and uncle. Basically, when their kid does something wrong, they'll tell them, you know, that they're doing something wrong, and then they'll say, all right, go stand in the corner.
And it works for
them. I'll set a timer for 3 minutes. And, like, my uncle, I was just visiting them. I was on vacation. And he set his my little cousin in the corner, and he said, all right, I'm going to start a timer, because he was crying, because he was in trouble. And he said, every time I'm here, you cry, I'm going to reset the timer. And he'd tell him, we'd hear him crying, and we'd say, all right, reset, and he'd reset the timer. And then he stopped crying, the timer was up, he came over to me, and he goes, all right, what'd you do wrong? He told him, he said, what do you say? I'm sorry, Dad. All right, go play. Different words,
but
different
it worked
ways.
For him.
Yeah, it works for him. So
yeah,
it's different
what,
kids,
what would
different
you rather
ways.
Do? Yeah, would you rather take orders from me or a 300-pound cellmate?
I deal with the parent because I don't do cellmates. I don't do roommates either.
I don't like roommates. Orange is not too black. It's not a good color for me.
Yeah, I don't do orange. I love the color orange, but I don't do jumpsuits because jumpsuits they're too hard to get in and out of. I don't mess around with that.
Oh, and don't mess around in Mahoney County Jail because then, can't do it.
Who is making all the noise? That's Jeffrey. How did I know? Jeez, oh, man. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
You leave my phone.
I'm Lou Flores with your headline.
All right, let's have this conversation.
And that's the whole point, because if every parent did what Tracy would do, please, that kid would have never got this. No parent does that. I know a lot of parents, like Tracy said, they discipline the way they've learned. My mother was like that, and my father was like hitting. I'm going to do the same thing. And that's it. And when everybody's in the show saying, no, it's not true, please.
What do you mean, no, it's not true? Not every parent. Now,
I would say 85, I would say more than 50% do that. How many parents are stressed of that? How many parents
that's
are
my
stressed?
Form of discipline that works.
Why? Why do you have
because
to
it works. It works.
Not necessarily. It maybe works in the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah,
it
works. If I find
it,
it works for my daughter. It works
so,
when I started taking
so
it. When I started taking my daughter at 2.5, and there was no such thing as her telling me no or rejecting me, or because I'm like, Tracy, kids don't have no rights. Now it's to the point where all I have to do is say, Lexus. Or call her by her first, her middle, her last name, and she knows
I hope, I hope that you don't have the consequence of your kid growing up and not hating you. I hope you don't.
I don't hate my mother. My mother did way worse.
It depends on every kid, because if he does, don't ever come and say, I don't know what happened.
Can I ask you questions, Bailey?
My daughter doesn't hate me. My daughter understands that when she gets in trouble,
Understand why that. My mom is not happy about something I did, and she didn't rob any bank and everything, so the best way that my mom could do is she's going to hit me for something that I did. Okay, so later in her life, let me just finish this. Later in her life, I'm getting influenced by my friend about something.
Am I going to go to my mom? Nah, I'm not going to go to my mom, because if I go to my mom, first I can't be honest with her because she's going to go and slapping me and things like that. I'm not going to go there. Let me go to my friends and everything and everything.
Oh, well, you're not going to end up doing all that stuff because you're a crazy mother.
How do you know?
How do you know? I didn't end up getting pregnant. You want to know why? Or getting drunk because I was too afraid of my mother.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get in trouble with the police or running around in the streets or talk back to my mother. Why? Because I was too afraid of the discipline that was going
to
come.
So being a parent is to make your kid afraid of you? That's being a parent.
If that's what it takes to keep them in line.
That's being a parent. A parent is somebody that makes you afraid of you.
My friends who are getting pregnant and drinking and getting in trouble and running around, their parents had a lackadaisical attitude just like you.
My cousins ended up pregnant at 14, 15, 17, never got whoopings.
Didn't even graduate from high school. Why? Because their parents had an attitude like yours. But my mother put her foot in our butt. Yeah, she took it too far, and at that time I didn't understand it, and I had some issues behind it. But being an adult, I could look back and say, you know what? I understand, and I understand
but
that certain
Diva,
things.
By the same token, I could bring you parents who have the attitude that I have and have great kids who are not taking drugs, things like that. And I could bring you parents who've done – wait, Diva, let me just finish. And I could bring you parents that have done your way of discipline, and the kids still use drugs. The kids still went there.
That's life, man. That's life. I mean, that's life. Don't come to me and just say because I'm doing this,
that there's a guarantee that your kid's going to be a certain way. There's no guarantee that your kid's going to be a certain way if you do it
my way or your way. There's no
so
guarantee. But you see from the environment around you what works and what doesn't work. And then you see with your own child what works and what not works.
I didn't think I ever
was going to spank my daughter because of what my mom did to me. But then as I got older and she started getting older, I kind of understood why my mom was so strict in her punishment. She went overboard, so I didn't go overboard. I created a balance. But I understand that with some parents and some kids, heck, you got to knock the heck out of them, because I'd be quick to knock the heck out of them.
Wait, I'm going to knock her down like she's a grown woman.
And if you want to walk away, don't talk to her.
So hitting your kid is going to bring you the respect.
We got about 20 minutes before the top of the hour, and I got AJ
in
the studio.
I know they won't let you talk.
Wait a minute. They won't let me talk. I've been back for 10 minutes, and they ain't been going 10 minutes straight. I don't understand. I'm going to change the show.
S-O-M.
I saw a guy texting yesterday.
Okay.
I'm trying to ask Stanley a question, but he won't be quiet long enough to let me ask it.
Go ahead. I'm shocked of Diva what she said. Hitting a kid brings you respect as a parent. Wow, that is something I'm going to blow up for the day.
Wait a minute. No, listen. I'm going to change the subject for just a moment. I'm going to go somewhere, and I'm going to ask AJ this.
Oh, boy.
Have you heard about the kid down in Steubenville who was a football player who was convicted of rape?
I've heard of. Never mind. No, he don't know. No.
They wrote this up, and there's an editorial in the Cleveland Plain Dealer today about the young man down in Steubenville that we talked about the other day who was convicted of rape. He's done his time, and he's back on the football team, and the people are in an uproar because he is there. You know, there comes a time where forgiveness must come in. There comes a time where you hold people accountable. But you cannot hold people accountable for the rest of their life for decisions that they make and then think that they're going to become better people. Because who I am today and who I'm going to be in the future, it's not the same, and it's not going to be. And it's a sad thing that we are so unforgiving until it's our own.
You know, Stanley, you know, with your as I said, people that have tempers, you have to have major, when you're a parent, you need to have major control over your emotions. You cannot be guided by them. You know, you don't beat your kids and chastise your kids at the top of your fury. Sometimes you got to go and decompress. Stanley, let me finish. Sometimes you got to go and decompress, breathe, take a shower, take a walk, and wait a couple days before you even deal with what they've done. But that comes from good parenting. That comes from a good somebody else raising you in a way that you have good parenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have to understand what's happening today is we are not parenting. We're not teaching people how to become responsible. We're not teaching self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not telling everybody to go out and get a 2x4 and beat their kids. That's not what I said. But what I am saying is people need to have discipline. It causes correction, and correction causes discipline, and the discipline will cause for you to become a productive adult. And it gives you restraint. See, I've told you guys about the day that I want to jump on the little manager over at the bank. I want to jump on her so bad, I want to swing her little blonde head around that room I just want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I was right, I would have been in jail. I'd have messed up my life.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn. And what's happening is we're not teaching our children discipline, and discipline is a discipline.
And
so you have to look at what's going on in Missouri. What's going on in Missouri is because of lack of discipline, because they're not willing to work through the process to get to the other side. So they see opportunity, they get enraged, and they allow their passions to drive them instead of allowing their brain to drive them.
Mm-hmm.
People go, the young man who shot up Youngstown State University at the frat party because somebody disrespected him, there's no way he could have thought about the outcome when he went and took a gun into a crowded building and started shooting up the place. You can't tell me he thought about that first. The only thing he thought about was, I'm going to get them. And see, you've got to put care into a child. And
exactly.
So, Stanley, I'm not saying that people should beat their kids, and they should not, because beating does not cure anything. Beating causes malice. Beating a child and not giving them correction, not giving them love and hugging on them, you know, not being there for them and not, you know, it takes a lot to be a parent. That's why I'm not one.
I agree with what you're saying, and having the philosophy that your kids need to be fearful of you. No. Why do your kids need to be fearful? Your kids need to say, if I'm in trouble and everything, for anything in the world, I know I can trust my parents. I know I can trust my parents that they're going to come and tell me what I need to hear. Not, I'm in trouble,
Stanley,
I'm going to go to my parents.
Stanley, you know, fear is healthy.
Yeah.
And fear, because you have to understand, there are two different definitions of fear. There's fear of scared. See, the problem with black people today is that people are fearful of them in the wrong way. See, I have a fear from my mama, but it's called respect.
Right. Well,
and
no.
So the difference is, we, as far as African Americans, people don't fear us with respect. They fear us with fear. And there's a difference between the two. See, you want to be respected. I fear my mom with respect. I came home from work one day, and I was working at the Juvenile Justice Center, and I told them, I said, well, listen, the kid was going around calling their mama to be. So I was sitting around with my cousins, and I said to y'all, I will pay somebody a crisp $50 bill, laid it on the table. I said, I will give this to you if I can get y'all to call your mama a B. I took my $50 home. Not because they were afraid of their parent, it's because they had respect for them. And we were all grown. Go ahead, Eric.
You can't even cuss in front of my mother.
Oh, no, no.
Can't cuss in front of my mother.
Listen, I was a smoker on my own, and I didn't smoke in front of my mom for years.
No.
Just out of respect.
Yeah.
My mama didn't see me get drunk in front of her. Out of respect.
Well, she ain't seen me getting drunk, but she seen me coming in after I got drunk.
At least I tried to hide it. I don't know how well it worked, but I tried. But I'm just saying, that Stanley, you need to have fear, because I fear the police, but I respect the police. I'm not afraid of them. We have not learned a healthy fear. I fear authority.
I fear the consequences of what can happen when you go, when you are hard-headed. That's what my mother taught me. While, like I was saying on the break, when the parents that I know that had the lackadaisical attitudes like Stanley had, their kids were getting into trouble, getting pregnant. I was too afraid to come home from a house party drunk, smelling like alcohol. I was too afraid to come home from getting pregnant. I was too afraid to drop out of high school. Not only because my mom was going to kick my butt, because I knew that was going to break her heart, too. Because I knew that she wanted so much more for us.
Diva, I ain't going to lie. Stanley, hold on. Stanley, wait a minute. Diva, I ain't going to lie. My mama scared me into not having kids. My mama scared me into that. She was serious about that. She don't have kids. She don't have grandkids today because of that. Because she scared me. No. I was scared of that. Because if I had to come home, there's no way I could have come home and told her I was pregnant. I just really didn't want to hear that speech.
I was scared to tell her I was pregnant when I was a sophomore in college. I was afraid to tell her that.
That would be. I never want to hear that speech. Go ahead, AJ.
But
this is like, okay, I got a situation when you were talking about respect for your parents and stuff like that. Situation last night. I was out with my friends. We went to the movies, okay? My curfew is midnight.
Ooh.
Okay? It's a good one. And I knew it was a long movie because it didn't start until about 9:30, and it was the new Marvel movie we went and seen last night. The movie was over. It was about 11:30. And I told my mom, I texted her, I said, the movie's over, I'll be home as soon as I can. And she goes, all right, remember, your curfew's midnight. I said, okay. All my friends, I rode with them, I didn't drive. All my friends said, oh, let's go to Taco Bell. I was like, oh boy. You know, I was like, all right. So I texted my mom, I said, hey, we decided we're going to go out to eat. And she said, all right, if you're home late, you need to keep in touch with me. And I said, okay, because I respect my mother enough because of, you know, because she is raised, you know what I mean? And that goes with the respect thing. So I knew I was going to be home late, so I kept in touch with her. Hey, we just got to the restaurant. Hey, we just left. They're dropping me off, you know, where I parked my car at the church, and I'll text you when I'm on my way home, because I wasn't driving. And I kept in touch, because I knew if I didn't, I'd be in trouble.
I came home from California.
My daughter's the same way. I mean, she had a midnight curfew as well, but if you text me, let me know that you guys stopped here, you stopped there, that's fine. Just be responsible with me, and I'll give you those boundaries, you know? Like on the problem. She came home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Y'all messing up.
But
you know y'all messing up.
I agree with Eric.
We didn't get the text or nothing. We had to come home. We didn't get no leeway. What are you talking about?
This is the 21st century now.
Exactly.
So we can't text. We can't text.
10 minutes late.
Ooh.
It was 12:30 by the time I got back to the church, and my mom texted me right when I was getting in my car, and she said, I want you home. And I texted her and said, I just left the church just now, and I'll be home in 5 minutes. And then I walked in, you know, gave her a hug and kiss. You know, she was already in bed, and I went to bed, and that was it, because I kept in touch with her.
Go ahead, Stanley.
The thing I'm saying and everything, I agree with the respect. Yes, you need to have the respect, but I do not agree. When Diva's saying that example, Diva, I could give you the same example of being the way you were disciplined and didn't work with me compared to my best friend who was disciplined with love, who wasn't disciplined that way, the hardship and everything, never got a beating and everything, and is a parent right now and is the best, one of the best father I ever saw with his daughter. It's teaching him the right way. So, like I said, let me just finish, Tracy. Like I said, there is no guarantee. You can hit that kid as much as you want and everything. There is no guarantee, like I said in the commercial, that kid will become what you want. No guarantee. And you could do it my
Stanley,
way, and there's no guarantee also.
You have a fundamental difference in punishment.
Yeah, but Dr. Stanley, you saw bad discipline. That's what I'm saying. The lenses of your eyes are of your own purview based upon your own experience. And what we're telling you is your experience was bad because it was bad. And
that's what I was trying
again,
to say. I mean,
it was not well-rounded enough for you, for
what
you needed.
If a kid breaks a glass by accident, then that was an accident. That doesn't require a spanking or a beating or anything. Just make the kids flip it up, learn a lesson, be more careful.
Right, right.
Hold on, but when you take the glass and slam it up against the wall.
Not in my house.
But see, they,
not in my house.
Okay, Stanley, Diva, that's why both of y'all crazy now.
No,
that's just why we're both going crazy now. See what I'm saying is, listen,
if you
break
a
glass.
Go ahead, sorry.
Right, I'm 43 years old.
If you break a glass. You break a glass. If you throw the glass at your sister's head, then I'm going to try. Are you going to get disciplined?
Spanked.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can't throw a glass at your sister's head.
I'm 42 years old.
I see what my mom was teaching me in that we didn't have money to replace those things. And my mom was teaching us that in the wrong way. She was teaching us that you need to value things. That's why to this day I can hold on to something and keep some for 10, 15 years.
Diva, again, hold on. In a bad way. But you guys keep on saying in a bad way. And we're trying to tell you there's balance. There's balance. There's some people out there that have disciplined their children in a bad way. But there's a lot of stories out there, and we say, you know, when I look back on it, boy, if they really found out what I really did, because the chastisement that I got was okay. But I could have did a couple more, and I'd have been a millionaire by now. Go ahead, Alabama. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. The analogy of breaking the glass, I mean, it just ranges from parent. I mean, if your mom, you go around a guest house, she tells you to sit down, and you rip in and run through the house, and you knock down some a vase or something, and she told you repeatedly to sit down, carry on with the beating. But if you mistakenly, once you get older,
Alabama, move your mic away from your mouth because you're on a Bluetooth and you are garbling really bad.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Well, okay. Well, I'm just saying, I got spankings when I was younger for running around, being excessively hyperactive, and breaking something. That can cause a beating as well, especially when your mom's just getting off work.
But that's something different. Because
stay away. Don't talk to her. Go in another room somewhere and sit down.
Yeah, well, that wasn't how it worked in my house. If you accidentally broke a glass, dropped it, whatever, dropped the plate, yeah, you was getting it.
See, I think it worked in my house.
No, my mom, I understand my mom, now as an adult, she didn't know any better. She, especially
exactly.
Very young, she didn't know any better. But I don't resent her for that. I still love my mother, and my mother and I get into our arguments, and she gets her temper flare, and even if she was to slap me across my face, I still wouldn't hit her, because I respect her, because I know, first off, I can take her, but I respect her enough it would hurt me to hit my mother, even though it seems like she don't care about hitting me, but I still care enough about her not to hit her.
You see, I just look at it like this. Accidents happen. I mean, it was an accident. You drop something by accident, it breaks. That's no need for a spanking. I mean, things happen. I'm 42 years old. I still break stuff all the time. My mom should have come over and moved.
But you know, there's a difference, Eric. See, there's a difference with my. I was always active. So running around, I got a scar on my face now from running around the coffee table when my mama told me to stop and I fell and I almost knocked my eye out. You know, that was me. And my aunt called me a jumping jackrabbit, and she didn't say it in those nice words either. But sometimes you have to – words don't always work with all children. So when I break something, I broke it because they told me to sit down, and I didn't sit down. They told me to quit running. I didn't quit running. And after a while, they was going to, you know, jack a knot in my behind because I didn't do what I was supposed to do because I wouldn't listen and be obedient. And that's the key. The key is listening and being obedient at words of those that are in authority over you. And discipline causes that so that when you're older, you know not to buck up at the police officer, at the branch manager of the bank, but you know how to deal with it differently, even if they're in the wrong.
Well, let me ask you a question. So, like, I feel like with the book, that book, Dr. Spock, when parents started saying, hey, I'm not going to beat my child, when that came out, generationally, I feel like we've kind of, things have changed for the worse. I just feel that way.
But remember, things changed for the worse when we gave our children too much leeway, too much freedom. You know, we have children that have never done chores before. You get children who don't have respect for authority.
White kids curse their parents clean. I was in the store. This guy called his mama the B word, cursed her clean out. She started crying.
And he lived to tell about it. I promise you, that wouldn't have gone well with my mom. Absolutely not. That would really go down awfully bad as when I was a child. Now she would cry. She would be awfully hurt, but I wouldn't do it. But when I was coming up, oh, I'm telling y'all, I have yet to slam a door.
You're actually bumping into your mom at the grocery or asking for something, and she told you don't ask for nothing before you walked in the store. My mama didn't play that.
We had never rules. My mama could cut her eyes from the choir stand, and I knew I better sit my tail down at church. She was like 20 feet away.
Well, then, don't you think this has to do with a father? This is where a father comes in a sense, because that father puts that fear in the child to really shut up. You know, the mom usually is a disciplinarian, but you didn't want to listen from dad. You just didn't. So those are the times where things were really, imprinted in your mind. Don't do this. I don't care how old you are.
But, Alabama, you are right, but I can say this. I never had a man who had influence over me like that. So all she had was her. And she had to put the fear of God in me because she did not have anyone around her like my father to have that influence over me.
Yeah, like I said, so, I could bench press my dad, but if I hit him, he'd be like Popeye eating spinach.
We wouldn't go, and they put the fear in us early because we didn't realize that they were so much smaller than us when we got old. I mean, really. I mean, when I look at my mom now, I could have quit my mom a long time ago. But I was scared of her.
Did you ever think of your mom like, you ever think like, man, my mom is crazy. I ain't trying that.
Oh, my mama is crazy. I tell them all the time, my mama crazy. They say, oh, your mama's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's the same way with my dad. That's the same thing with my dad. My dad is the vice president of our school board at my school. And people say all the time, oh, your dad, he's such a nice guy. He does a good job on the school board, blah, blah. Be like, yeah, well, you should see him at home.
And that's a problem.
I had to learn out of my experience that you had to have balance. My mother, no one taught me about balance. I learned from my experience. I never thought that I would ever spank my daughter, but I knew that at a young age that telling her no didn't work, putting her in timeout didn't work. So I had to try something different. But I knew that not to go as far as my mother did. So even with experiencing abuse, children can grow up and learn balance out of their experience. You don't have to go complete opposite of what happened to you and then the self-fulfilling prophecy comes about, because then your child may end up doing what you trying to keep them and preventing them from doing or happening to them. So it is all about balance. And I'm sorry, but back in the day, a lot of people just didn't have that education and that learning. They just went with what they were taught or shown. And yet it was wrong. But then this is where forgiveness comes in. And that's where my faith allows me to have a relationship with my mother, because my mother did some crazy stuff for no reason. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't no kid running around getting
Diva,
into trouble,
gotta,
bumping
Diva,
into stuff.
Diva,
and
sweetie, I got to go. Diva, I know the one thing I do know, you had a mouth and you wouldn't
shut
up.
No, I did not. My mother would tell you. I never talked back to my mother.
I didn't say talk back. You had a mouth.
No, I didn't.
You had a mouth.
To
no,
kids, yes.
Not.
To an adult or to my mother, no, I did not.
Absolutely not.
That's why I got a mouth now, because I was always forced to be quiet.
Well, you probably gave her dirty looks.
Now that I'm grown, can't anybody force me to shut up. So I'm grown now.
I know, but we're trying to get you to listen. Because you don't hear.
But you can't hit me. You can't.
Tracy.
You know what I'm saying? The only person that
Well, my daughter was
Aaron, go ahead.
She wanted to, my daughter was three. She wanted to do me a favor. She decided to paint my leather coat red for me.
Ooh.
Oh.
You can't get mad
now,
at that.
I did not. $400 coat. I was just like, oh, my God. Well, I said, Lord,
you can't
me.
Get mad at that. You can't get mad at that. She was trying,
she was trying
to hook you up.
She did a good job, believe me.
Hey, guys, I'm done for the day. I'll see you on Monday. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5210. And I want to thank everybody who called in, everyone who listened in.
Give me a tea with lemon. Give me the shrimp with the coconut.
You know you're on air, right? We're still here. We can still hear you. Ordering.
Yeah, load the baby potato. Yeah, I walked over here and got me a lunch. I can't. Why y'all care?
Loaded baked potato. Shrimp.
Yeah, shrimp with the coconut shrimp and the chicken. Yeah.
Where are you at?
Out back.
Ordering a hodgepodge of whatever.
Hey, Jeff down there with you, Alabama. He's trying to find you.
He ain't hit me up. He didn't even tell me he was down here. We got a concert tomorrow. What he doing down here?
He down there for a wedding, I believe.
He didn't even tell me. I'm gonna call him. I'm gonna call him when I'm gonna see if I got Jeff's number. I don't even know if I got Jeff's number.
How is it you getting everybody's numbers?
I just do, man. Just do. You sit there and talk to somebody every day, all day. Eventually, you get their number. No, I ain't got Jeff's number. Dang, I thought I had Jeff's number.
I'll inbox it to you.
Hold up. I thought I had it on Facebook. Let me see. Yeah, I think I got it. Hold up. Yeah, I got it.
I can't believe you, Tracy. She's the first one talking about don't judge nobody, but she is quick to judge.
What's she talking about?
Talk about Diva. I bet you had a mouth on you. No, I did not have a mouth on me.
Diva,
when
you
I was
probably
a kid,
did have a mouth. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No,
you
I didn't.
Did.
I got
you
smart.
Probably
I got
did.
Smart. I got smart with other kids, yeah. But talking back to my mother or another adult,
Did you see the eyewitness on that shooting in St. Louis? Did you see that kid, the couple of kids that came out? Is a kid, a woman? Everybody's story is the same.
What?
Everybody. He rolled past them. Well, he rolled past them, told them to get out the street. They said, we almost where we got to go. He stops his car, bags up, turns the car sideways, opens the door, hits him with the door. Then he reaches and grabs the boy by the neck, trying to choke him. Then he reaches and grabs his gun, throws it out. I'm going to shoot. As soon as he said that, he pulled the trigger. They took out running. Then he shot him again. Then he turned around. He told his friend, go ahead, keep running. He shot him again. He turned around, told him, don't shoot. He's getting on his knees with his hands up. Walked up, shot him right in the head.
Okay,
directly
but
in the head. Then he shot him three times.
There's a woman. Yeah, shot him several times, face in the head. But there is a woman who came out and gave a slightly different story. She's black, and she was watching the whole thing, and she said from what she saw was the door was opened, and then they seemed like they were wrestling within the window. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because he's choking.
And
he
said the boy pulled back, ran. The cops started shooting. And the boy jerked like he got shot, and then he turned around with his hands up saying, don't shoot, don't shoot. And the cop walked up on him and shot him.
In the head.
And kept shooting.
Yeah. Then they say he shot him.
That's first degree murder.
No, they shot him. Looked at him. They saw he was still breathing and shot him some more.
But here's the thing. Here's the only problem where a jury is going to look at that, or an internal investigation is probably going to get this guy off. If there was a scuffle, then he's trying to apprehend him after the scuffle. So the cop can easily say, look, I was not taking a chance in trying to apprehend him, and then
he was going to take my gun. Now, was him shooting him the way he did was excessive? Yes. But then they could come back and say, well, the traumatic, it was a heightened situation. Adrenaline was going and kicking in.
I want to see him get off on this. I just want to see him.
I think
now, this
he
is going to be one of the biggest, most cold-blooded murders I've ever seen in my life.
The only reason he turned around
in the first place was because they said they got to go. These niggas got to respect what I say. That's what that was about.
But no, but the fact that Mike get him off was the fact that there was an initial scuffle. While the police
was no
inside his cruiser, there was an initial scuffle. This is how they will reason it. They will reason he was not going to take a chance in apprehending him. Because he could have been turned around and trying to come at him again.
No. What I'm saying is when he reached and choked him, the boy's story said corroborates that he reached and got his hand around his neck. So obviously, in order for him to get away and run, he had to get loose. So there was a small, somewhat scuffle, but that was just to get away from him. It ain't like he reached in there and was beating him in the face. That's the problem.
So the cop reached – so how did he get close enough
car.
To the cop?
Let me tell you what he did. He bagged up, tried to get out, but the door hit them. When the door hit him, he was so upset, he reached and grabbed the kid's neck. His friend said the boy was right there looking at him. You got an eyewitness right there?
I'm confused.
When she said there was a scuffle, what you may call a scuffle is the fact that he's trying to get away from him, choking him in the car. That's what he's trying
to do. Okay, but the fact is, that one witness can somewhat corroborate what the police officer saying is he was trying to get my gun.
I'm not saying what they're saying is true.
What I'm saying is,
3 feet away from him that said this is specifically what he said and did. Now, some lady standing across the street that doesn't have a great vantage point, like a guy that's standing right next to him. That ran through alongside him.
Look at it as this is an independent witness who had nothing to do with it, who was actually thinking she's helping the victim versus his friend.
The friend did say that he touched him. How could you get him around the boy's neck?
Here's what I'm saying. Here's how the court works. This is
when it comes down to
balance the witness statements. You have an independent witness who thinks she is actually helping the victim with her testimony, but she's actually, in a way, slightly corroborating what the police officer is saying versus his friend, someone close to him, someone who is caught up in his...
No, you do realize he's not the only witness. It's three or four witnesses. I mean, it's way more witnesses. Go on YouTube. There's a ton of videos. He killed this dude in broad daylight in front of the whole community.
I get what you're saying.
The whole struggle part is him trying to open the door. Everybody says, every story I've seen says the door bumps into the guy. Every story says, and then they say about the scuffle that you're talking about was him getting his hands around his neck trying to choke him.
But how did he get close? What was he doing that close to the police officer?
Because he pulled the car in front of them. They were watching.
Here's the thing.
He stopped the car and backed the car right in front of them and tried to open the door.
Any of the witnesses said that he was choking him outside the car.
Ain't nobody. I haven't seen that one.
Okay, that's the thing. How is it he is that close to the police officer was sitting down in his car to where he can grab him around the neck and choke him? He had to be close enough to him to do that. So even if that was the case,
Diva, you overthinking this.
I'm not overthinking it.
I tell you what, hold on, I'm gonna go right to the video. Hold on, I'm gonna go to it right now. I just watched it a few minutes ago. Right to the video. He sat there and said he choked the boy.
Okay, someone saying something is completely different than when you're weighing and balancing witness testimony and evidence. You have to look at it. If they're saying he's choking him, but what was he doing at the window? The cop is sitting in his car. How is it that he is that close to the cop to where the cop is able to choke him?
Okay, Michael Brown's friend, Dorian, is going to – have you seen Dorian's testimony?
Again.
Have you seen Dorian's testimony?
all I want to know, I have not seen his testimony, but since you've read it, all I'm asking is, what was he doing that close to the police officer to where he can choke him? You know,
all right, hold on. I'm playing it right now.
Okay.
Okay. You said he came up to him and said, get the F on the sidewalk. Can you hear it?
Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
Okay, he said, the cop came to him, Dorian Johnson said, they were walking down the street having a conversation. The cop came up, rolled by them, and said, get the F out of the street. And then they said, we explained to him that we were just a few feet away from where we had to go. Right? Then he turns the car around and pulls the car right in front of them. He said, in a manner to where it almost hit us. Okay, so he pulled the car so close to them that it ricocheted off of them when he tried to open the door. That got him upset. Are you listening? Hello?
That got who upset?
They got the cop upset. The cop got upset when he tried to open the door. It ricocheted off them. And when he did
okay.
that, he got upset. Now, this is a more verbatim what he's saying. Okay, after the door ricocheted off him, he reaches out the window and grabs Michael by his neck. After that, he's trying to get away. The officer reached out, grabs his arm, and trying to pull him in the car. Thank you. This kid, Dorian Johnson, is not stupid. He's very coherent, and he knows his stuff. He's up here telling
okay.
you. Right?
Again,
just up here,
you have to look
you.
At it. You have to look at it from a courtroom standpoint, a legal standpoint. I'm looking at it from the logistics. Okay, so they were close enough to where the door ricocheted off of them. Which part of the door? The middle of the door? The end of the door that latches to the car? Because those are the type of questions that are going to be asked. Where exactly was he standing to the door? How far back to where it ricocheted and which part ricocheted off of him? That'll tell you how close he was. Because did he grab him by his neck or did he grab him by his shirt? Because it's very difficult to grab somebody by their neck. You're standing at a certain distance and you're sitting.
So everybody's lying. Okay.
I'm not saying everybody's lying. What I'm saying is these are the hard questions that's going to be asked, and they need to have answers for them.
Hold on. Logistically, it just don't make sense to me that the way Trayvon's situation ended up. They said they tried it 5 or 6 different ways. It just didn't make the story that he gave.
Exactly.
Me.
That was different. Logistically, they couldn't find a way where George Zimmerman's story checked out. The dude that made the video, he had his gun holster, Trayvon Martin trying to reach for his gun and was able to pull it out. Logistically, and the prosecution dropped the ball because they didn't really hammer that point home that George Zimmerman is lying about his gun being holstered. But this is very hard for me to wrap my head around. You're saying he's choking him. He reaches out and chokes him. How tall is Michael Brown?
I don't know.
Okay, because if he's over 6 feet, I have a hard time believing that unless the kid was bending over, that cop was able to be in a sitting position and choke him around his neck, probably grabbed his shirt first
okay.
and pulled him towards him and was choking him.
Okay.
The cops.
So let me get this
straight. The cops' actions were excessive.
Hold on, Diva. So what you're saying is this. If a cop who's supposed to be out here, protecting and serving, gets into a physical skirmish, he's authorized to use deadly force from that
point. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying
is... That's exactly
is,
what you're saying. Because,
no,
on,
that's not
because
what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
ran.
I'm trying to get you guys to understand or how they're going to be looking at this. That's all I'm saying. I'm not on his side. I look at it from a standpoint of seeing it from the side of the court, because I'm not going to put my emotions into something and get it wrong. I'm not going to get upset if I can't wrap my mind around something logistically. I'm going to be looking
Diva,
at this
I
from a standpoint of...
I thought that you Zimmerman was going to get off. I actually told you that. And you argued with me.
Yeah, you're right. I kept saying he wasn't going to get off. There was no way. But because the evidence supported that he killed Trayvon in cold blood. But you have to realize this is a cop against a black boy. This is different.
Now I agree with you on that.
This is different. That jury is going to probably be looking. They're going to move it out of that county and move it into a white county. They're not going to leave it there because they're going to say he ain't going to get a fair trial. They're going to take it somewhere else into a whiter county. What's going to happen is that slightest bit of doubt is going to come in, and he's going to get off because he's a white cop against a black boy who has, you know how they stereotype black boys.
Okay. All right.
It's different. Yeah. That independent witness who said she saw a scuffle. And a scuffle, it kind of just, from what she's saying, it kind of gives that reasonable doubt, just that smallest bit of reasonable doubt that it's needed.
You sitting in the car giving a physical altercation, I'll agree with you on that. And the cop's going to come out and say they said something smart to him.
Yeah, to be honest with you, when he told him to get off the street, that's what they should have done. You want to think in an idyllic world that they can say, well, we almost to where we're going to go. But one, it's illegal to be walking in the street. Two, why even bother? Why even bother telling them that? Just get on the, not that I'm blaming him. I'm just saying, just get on the sidewalk.
Well,
just do what he says.
The quick trip that got burned down was because it was rumored that they said that they think he stole some cigarillos when there's no footage of him stealing anything. The police wasn't called or nothing.
Yeah, they said that he was... Now, see, the only thing that's conflicting for me is I heard he was a suspect in a robbery, but then you're saying, well, the cop didn't seem like he was telling him or he was suspecting him or anything. He just was telling him to get out the street and
because he's a cop, and that he has the right to do that because he's a cop.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So the burglary aspect of it is not panning out to me from the witness statements because it didn't seem like he was looking at this boy as a suspect. He was just saying, get out the street. He got disrespected. He felt like he got disrespected, and he took it to the extreme.
Realize this. A cop can walk up in cold blood and blow your brains out and get off.
That's why we all need to understand that we can't be hot-headed out here. We would love to think that we live in an idyllic world where we don't have to kowtow to the master. Jim Crow and slavery days are over, but the fact is they're the ones with the power. They're the ones who can get away, who can get off. So you have to be smarter than them. And that's what I tell every young boy that come across. I'm like, you got to be smarter than them. They're looking for a way to take you out. A cop, he was itching for that situation. And nobody can tell me that cop wasn't, because he was too excessive in how he went about doing what he did. Because even if you felt like you needed to apprehend him, you didn't have to pull out your gun. You could have pulled out your taser and tased him. But then they need to come up with a scenario where if a suspect flees, why are you shooting them? Because if an unarmed suspect flees, why are you shooting them? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, that's why they got physical training. You're supposed to be able to catch him.
They need to. If he runs and you can't catch up with him,
You should not be allowed, a cop should not be allowed to shoot an unarmed suspect. I don't care for any reason unless they're tussling over a gun. But if a suspect is running and they're not armed, no, you should not be allowed to shoot them. That is not a justified shooting in my.
Well,
but they're gonna spin it if they were justified because of that struggle.
When he shot him, he gave him a case, so he killed him because he didn't want to. He didn't want, you know what I'm saying? He had to kill him. He closed all the. He know he's been trained to kill that boy because he knew had that boy lived, and he not killed him. He'd have had the
no,
answer to why he killed him.
I think that cop has. And I don't know because from his record, they're saying that he never had any disciplinary problems, and he's a police officer.
He's been trained to kill. That's why.
But he's in a predominantly black neighborhood.
They're saying that this guy is the they're saying he's in a predominant way. How long has he been a cop? 18 months? He ain't that old.
Okay, but again, him being from what I've read, he was with that police force 6 years. I'm gonna have to look it up again. But he was in a
cops that threatened me, and I never went. I got threatened by cops. I had cops talk to me, grease. I had cops do all types of disrespect, but I didn't report them.
I'm pretty sure there's somebody who is going to report something. You're not going to go 6 years and not have any type of non-disciplinary action on your record.
So he's a good cop. Okay.
No, I'm not saying he's a good cop, but I'm saying that's how it's going to be looked at. That's how it's going to be looked at. Is that, okay, here's a cop with a non-disciplinary action who's been with this force for a while, who is in a predominantly black neighborhood. It's not all that cut and dry.
All right.
There are loopholes to where they're going to use.
All right.
And that's the truth of the matter. They're going to say that it was justifiable because of that struggle. I don't understand how it's justifiable when he got away and then you shoot him while he's running. To me, that's not justifiable. But it's the same in an Oscar Grant case.
No, he shot him. He shot him when he was running. He stopped.
Right.
Turned around, got on his knee, don't shoot, walked up to him, shot him real close in the head.
Right.
That's
but, of course, what he's going to say is he's going to use that struggle as an excuse. He already tried to take my gun once. I was not going to take the chance of him being able to take it and kill me and me not go home to my wife and children. That's going to play with a jury.
I agree.
Especially if he ends up with a white jury.
Yeah, I'd say one. Yeah. There you go.
But I got to
go. I see what you're saying. All right, bye.
Take care.
All right.
Hello. Guess everybody's gone.